You're listening to a Ragnarok Actual Play. If you like what you hear and want to share your thoughts with us, you can follow us on Twitter at Ragnarok, like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Ragnarok, email us at info@ragnarok.com, leave us a voicemail at 516-362-6373, or comment on our website. Ragnarok is also available through iTunes, so be sure to check us out there as well. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the game.
And we are recording.
And then that's how Ed got the name Bernie.
Was that your thing?
I think it works.
Okay.
Yeah, it worked twice the other night.
Okay. Don't question him, Bernie.
Sorry.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another Ragnarok Actual Play.
Yay.
Today we are playing Fiasco.
I guess Alex is in charge of this one.
Yeah, okay. I am. I have the announcer voice.
Oh, he right. does.
I always introduce the fiascos.
You
would know that if you were here.
You just started.
That's true. I shouldn't complain. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell a cream cheese joke, Alex?
No, because you're just going to ruin it.
He'll tell us a cream cheese joke later when you're not here to ruin it.
Yeah.
And we're going to enjoy the shit out of that.
It's
going to
be the best fucking joke ever.
Alex tells the best cream cheese joke.
Oh, I'll tell the audience.
How? Without me hearing it.
He's when you go to the bathroom.
He's going
to
visit
each and every one of their houses. Yeah, but then I can just listen to the episode.
No, we'll cut it out.
It'll be Ed.
But then the audience wouldn't hear it.
But he told them. He didn't say they'd hear it. He just said he'd
tell
them.
It's not my fault they didn't listen.
We'll give everybody a special encryption code that can use to download Alex's cream cheese joke.
How are you going to get the encryption code to everybody?
Why are you being such a dick about this, Ed?
Why don't you just let us enjoy the cream cheese joke?
All right, to everyone listening, I'm sorry that Ed is once again ruining a cream cheese joke.
God damn it.
Yeah. So, speaking of fiascos, which is what this introduction has become, we are playing Fiasco. Tonight's playset is Flight 1180 by Will Hindmark. The score. Up in the air. Baggage. Even if you think you checked it all in the terminal, you're bringing some on board with you. Baggage. Everyone's got some, and in the confines of an aircraft, it surrounds us and mingles together. Is this your bag or mine? Is there a better metaphorical juxtaposition in air travel than baggage carousel, where your personal baggage gets to ride the horsies?
You messed that word up the first time you read it, too.
Metaphorical?
Yeah.
Well, hey, metaphorical juxtaposition. Okay. Those are two big words
That's
right
true.
Next to each other.
I'm very proud of you.
That's like half the line right there.
Plus J and X in one word?
Yeah. Anyway, this whole playset pretty much takes place on an airplane. There's a whole thing here about structure, which we're not going to get into, but a lot of it relies on flashbacks to things that happened.
Or flash fronts.
To things that happened before all our passengers wound up on the plane, and then things that are happening on the plane. And then maybe some things that are happening off the plane, because, Chris, we forgot about our final destination there for a minute.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I'm going to move this
How
back.
How are we
going to
get there? I'll help.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm really sorry about this, everyone who's listening. So that is tonight's playset. So, Ed, since you've been such a dipshit already, why don't you introduce us? introduce your character.
Okay. I was like, Ed, didn't you just do that? I am Moira Bentley. Moira Bentley is a 63-year-old matronly woman. She's got sort of curly salt and pepper hair. She's probably wearing, let's say, a periwinkle... like, skirt suit.
Good choice.
And she's sitting... She's probably currently knitting.
I don't think she'd be able to bring knitting needles on an airplane.
Now you can, yeah.
Oh, you can?
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm stabbing you with.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
You can't bring 4 ounces of liquid, but you can bring sharp, pointing needles.
Well, they're not that sharp. For the first couple of years, you weren't able to.
I'm just saying, in terms of dangerous things, knitting needles are probably more dangerous than 5 ounces of liquid.
Well, because...
What's her face?
Depends on the liquid.
Laurie Strode used knitting needles to kill Michael Myers, or she thought she did.
Well, that's Michael Myers. That's a special case. Anyone else, he would have been fucking dead.
Yeah.
Alright, my character... I'm Ryan, by the way. My character is Charlene Rollo, a.k.a. the Roadrunner. She is an ex-B&E expert. She has a reputation for leading the police in daring high-speed chases after her jobs, hence her moniker there. She was saddled with by the media. She has an underground rivalry with Alex's character. And she was arrested in a rather embarrassing incident because during a high-speed car chase, a puppy, we decided, a very adorable Maltipoo.
Named Luigi.
Who's totally not Ed's dog.
Who's sitting in Ed's lap right now. Went across the road, and rather than run over the dog, she swerved and crashed into a telephone pole and was arrested. And she's currently broken out of jail, and because her whole reputation as a tough-as-nails lady thief got trashed because she refused to run over the puppy, she wants to prove to everybody that she can, you know, she can stand up there with the best of them in daring crime. So she's planning to rob the baggage compartment of Flight 1180 while it's in flight.
Yeah, but just look at this puppy. You couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah. All right, I'm Alex. I'm playing James O'Neill, a.k.a. the Coyote.
I see.
He's a Coyote Roadrunner. Yeah,
Meet me.
It's the Acme Flight Company.
Acme Airlines.
Acme Airlines. God, I hope not. I'm actually
to our final destination.
That's true. I am a veteran flight attendant.
You just look on the wing and just says, "I owe you one turbine,"
and then the plane falls out of the sky.
As the pilot holds up a sign that says "Mother."
This is the pilot speaking. We warned you not to read that.
All right. So I'm a 44-year-old veteran flight attendant. I've been on the job for about 20 years, and my B&E, what I would do is, because as a flight attendant, I was jet-setting everywhere across the country, when I was spending a night in the city somewhere, I would go and rob someone, and then I'd be up in the air the next day, and then never to be seen again. And somehow that got me the name The Coyote, I don't know. I just thought it would be funny to play off Ryan's Roadrunner. because I'd leave my calling card, which was a little picture of a coyote. Because why not? But
you left a wild, alive, wild coyote.
I left my wild card, which was a live coyote.
wild card.
So, but the police, because I've been, you know, going all over the country using this calling card, the police are starting to figure out that it's probably someone who can, you know, their job brings them all over the country. So I've quit because the heat's getting a little too hot. And I guess I'm trying to go streets.
If you're pulling these jobs across state lines, then the FBI is probably...
That's true. It's the FBI. Because, you know,
Federal Bureau,
the real crooks get the FBI after them, mm-hmm. not just the state troopers.
You got Dale Cooper after you.
Damn fine cup of coffee. I'm getting it. Cristobal, Twin Peaks.
Oh, all right. Well, my character is Dexter Schmeckley.
Like the serial killer?
And he's a flight attendant. He gets that question a lot. He's divorced, and he's very bitter about that. He has a lot of alimony because he was at a, what do we call those schools? Ivy League school, about to graduate with a physics degree. And then he knocked up his girlfriend and had to get married and put it off. And 7 kids and a divorce later, he's got basically no money left, and
he's a super
shy of his physics doctor.
What's your second job?
His second job is a phone sex operator. Also, he never, ever understands winking. Ever. Which is why Alex's character, James... I'm very jealous of Alex's character, James, because he's always showing me the things he stole and winking and trying to be friendly with me, and I think he's just rubbing it in that he's got money.
Oh, yeah, look what I bought, wink, when we were in Chicago.
And that's that, I think. Yep.
I think maybe just to modify the relationship that you guys have, because you know that he's a super genius, you should constantly be trying to invite him to team up with you to pull a job, but he just never picks up on it.
Want to come shopping with me the next time we're in Chicago?
Yeah. No, I only have, like, lunch money.
Okay. All right, so who's going to start this bad boy? Ed?
He started. the thing spinning around the table.
Spinning?
Yep.
Alright.
I can't use words today.
I will, what do you call it? That thing where you start the thing.
Yeah, see?
Establish. Like
that. Establish, thank you. I will establish. Why don't we establish, let's say we're still, like, boarding the plane. Give us a nice start. Moira, like I said, she's 63, she's kind of short, she's got, you know, curly salt and pepper hair. She probably has that, like, old lady lipstick with the big, like, lip liner around. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
Where they have, like, the lipstick and then they have the really dark, like, lipstick line around.
Mm.
How about a beehive hairdo?
Yeah, sure, why not? She has beehive hairdo.
A lot of hairspray.
Yeah, she has a beehive on her hair. And she walks up to the counter at the terminal. What do you, the ticket
counter?
The ticket counter with her boarding pass.
Is it you or me, Chris?
It should be me, I guess, because he's going to get on my nerves.
True. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I know that my boarding pass does say that I'm in seat 11. Now, I know that on flights for this company that odd seats are aisle seats, but I really do need a window seat, if you please. So I know that those are all even seats. So please, if I could just whoever's
sitting... Actually, ma'am, it turns out you have that backwards. The odd seats are the window seats.
Oh, well that's...
It's a pretty small airplane, then.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that?
Oh, absolutely. I've got the seating chart right in front of me here.
I'm pretty sure I fly often. I fly quite often, and I'm pretty sure...
Not as often as me.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure that you fly a lot, but I was on a flight for your airlines, and I distinctly remember being told that exact same thing, and I ended up sitting in the aisles. And I do not like sitting in the aisles because the drink cart hits me in the elbow. And you don't look like you're very... good with the drink card. You look like you sway a little bit with the drink card. I don't trust male flight attendants.
Well, is she sexist about it? I think so.
Turns out all the flight attendants on this flight are male.
Now, what has the world come to? When I was a young girl, flight attendants were women. What happened to flight attendants and nurses being women? All this male nurse, male flight attendant malarkey.
Male teacher.
Male teachers?
Oh.
Listen, let me
see. I need a really offensive thing to say about females in the workplace now. Like, what job should I be? Women...
Just agree with her.
Oh, women policemen.
Yes, it is. Women policemen, disgraceful. Disgraceful. They have to wear pants!
Yeah.
Now... if you will, please show me the seating chart. I just want to confirm this, because I frankly don't believe you.
Well, if you turn your ticket over, it's right there on the back.
Oh, well, I'll be... You know, you could have just told me that from the beginning, young man.
Well, I tried.
Here you go.
What is that?
It's my boarding pass.
Well, as you can see, we're not boarding those aisles yet. You see, first come the...
Are you really going to deny an old lady to be able to sit first?
Well, you don't have the ticket to get in first. You could have paid extra.
Just look at me. Do I look like I'm well? Do I look like I'm in good health? I need to sit down as soon as possible.
Now boarding seats in aisles 1 through 10. Oh, no, sorry, the back of the plane. Now boarding seats in aisles 21 through 30.
Now, I'm not going to get on that plane because... Frankly, there are some Arabs, and I don't trust them, and I want to get on before them, because if I bump into them, they might try to take me and make me their wife or something. I don't know, whatever it is they do.
Arabs don't do that.
Oh, and you would be the expert on Arabs.
I know they don't do that.
I demand to be sat immediately. Thank you.
Okay. You can see right there in the waiting area.
I would like to be sat on the plane, thank you very much. Or do I have to call the... can you just get your supervisor over here, please? Whoever the head flight attendant is?
Can I be the head flight attendant?
No.
a very smartly dressed female flight attendant with a little name tag that says Mindy on it walks over and says...
Oh, I figured it would be me.
No, I like that it's a female.
Okay.
Now that's more like it. And
comes over and says, Dexter...
Right as she walks over, now boarding seats...
11 through 20.
Dexter, are we having a problem here?
Well, she was just asking...
I believe that I asked to speak to your supervisor now. Mindy, that's more like it. And she grabs Mindy's hand and sort of clasps it. I would like to be seated immediately, and this gentleman here, Dexter, is giving me some trouble. He wants an old lady to stand. Can you believe it? Now, girl to girl, it's all right if I go on, right?
Certainly, ma'am. Dexter, what have I told you about
just
being
call
rude?
Her numbers now, so...
Thank you very much.
Dexter, I'm going to have James come up here and deal with the customers. You escort this nice old lady to her seat.
Yes, Dexter, escort me to my seat.
Well, just
I think a complimentary glass of wine is in order, too.
Whatever you want, ma'am.
Oh, whatever I want. Thank you, Dexter.
Dexter here will bring it for you. And be careful with the drinks cart.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, that ended well for us.
As Dexter walks Moira onto the plane, she's just babbling about her trip with her mother.
And would you believe that the jackpot for their bingo is $50 whole? Why, it's only 25 at my church.
And just because I saw Alex making a face, I will put this disclaimer that what I said about Arabs does not reflect our true feelings. Laura Bentley is specifically meant to be a character who says...
I am so sorry to anyone who's listening and gets offended. Please don't. You can send all your angry emails to ed@info@ragnardrock.com. Attention and Cress.
So, yes, disclaimer, Moira Bentley's opinions on Arabs. I'm apparently the Meyer of the game. Moira Bentley's opinions on Arabs do not reflect.
That's what Meyer does.
Mm.
Come on, if there was an annoying old lady about to board an airplane, she would definitely complain about the Arabs.
She would say some racist things. Let's see.
Required explanation.
All right. I'm going to say that Mindy calls you over.
Okay.
Yes, Mindy.
James is a veteran flight attendant, so he is... Even though it's not regulation for him, he is also dressed in a suit. I figure Mindy is probably in charge of the terminal.
Yeah.
Wait, Ryan, isn't this your scene?
Yes, I'm just setting it up for him.
Right.
She calls you over, tells you to man the ticket counter.
Yes.
And now Charlene is going to come up and...
Right. James is he's wearing a blue suit, you know, the corporate flight attendant suit, whatever. Corporate policy, you have to look very good, so his hair is very neatly trimmed and parted to one side, clean shaven, has a little bit of salt in his peppery hair. He's about 44, but he still looks young and sprightly, and he starts taking boarding passes and checking them and seating people.
And Charlene comes up to the counter. She is a very, very thin woman in her late 30s. I kind of picture her as looking like Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2, when she's got the hat and the sunglasses and the tank top.
For some reason,
kind of thing going
before
on.
You said from Terminator, when you said Linda Hamilton, my mind immediately went to Linda Tripp.
Okay.
I'm going to picture Linda Tripp.
I don't know who that is.
She was the woman who informed on Monica Lewinsky and the president.
The bigger blonde woman.
Linda Tripp?
Here, I'll Google her for you.
I didn't think her last name was Tripp.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know
who you're talking about.
She's trying to affect this this very badass persona, but she's actually kind of jittery because she's terrified of airplanes. so she walks over and she We've never actually met in person before, right. I'm guessing.
Probably not, no.
But would we know each other by sight? Or
I think I would know you because you were arrested.
Okay.
You probably wouldn't know me, though.
Because, yeah.
Right. But you, if you've got, like, the sunglasses and everything.
All
right. Boarding pass, ma'am?
Yes. Here you are, sir.
A little nervous?
I've always had a little bit of a problem with flying, but, you know, as long as I'm not by the window, I should be all right.
Well, I'm afraid to tell you this, ma'am, but it says here that you are seated in aisle 9. That's a window seat.
We move her out of the window seat for him.
I thought he wanted a window seat.
Yeah.
I
don't want a window seat.
And he did want a window seat.
So he's in a window seat.
But he has a window seat already.
Yes, I have a window. Well, is there any way you could move me to a different aisle? I hate to trouble you, but
check. We do have one aisle seat, but it's right next to the bathroom.
Oh, that would be perfect. I get quite air sick, unfortunately.
All right, very good then.
Seat 10.
Just do that. Seat 10. Yes. Well, no, it would have to be, like, all the way in the back of the plane.
Well, because he's supposed to be right next to me.
It could be a big plane. Sometimes I have
lavatories.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, we'll put you in seat 10. All right, I just need your boarding pass again.
Certainly.
So I guess it would be...
Prints out.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, you said that no plane just has, like, two rows of seats anymore.
Well, whatever.
I don't fucking know.
They all have, like... 3 on one side and 2 on the other.
Yeah, well, this
it's
is...
aisle numbers.
This is Acme Airlines.
Right, okay.
Backwards air.
Okay, there you go.
Before takeoff, the pilot lights the fuse and runs real fast, jumps in the cockpit, and off we go.
And please, don't worry, there's nothing to feel about. Nothing to be afraid of. Captain McDonald is our pilot today, and he's the best.
Oh, that's very reassuring, thank you.
Captain Ronald.
Alex McDonald?
No.
No, it's Ronald McDonald.
No, it's Jackson McDonald.
Ronald.
Jackson? His first name is Jackson?
Jackson McDonald.
Yeah,
I do like that.
Captain Jackson McDonald. I'm going to write that down so we don't forget.
I like Ronald. That name isn't used for anything else.
Yeah. You look rather familiar.
Do I now?
I feel like I've seen your face somewhere before.
Oh, I've been told I have one of those faces. My boarding pass has a fake name on it, by the way.
All right, well, Sheila, there you go, and enjoy the flight. If you need anything once you take off, just press the button.
Thank you. She has a little rolly bag, and she wheels it away. As you turn to watch her go. You can
did
see
you
that there's
a... Did you give the first turn?
Yeah.
Ed has to give yours away.
Yeah. We'll give ours away afterwards. So that ended well for me because I guess I...
Wait, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, as you turn and see on the back of my bag, there is a little Roadrunner patch.
All right, I'll give my die to Cristobal.
Yay.
Right. I'll give my die to Akos.
Yeah. White die, rah, rah, rah. All right. So I will...
We end up in the morgue because she's dead.
If possible.
We'll see where this goes.
And by she, Chris means me.
Nope.
As you pointed.
I'm done. Yep.
All right. So do we want to jump to takeoff? Or do we want a flashback?
Up to you.
I don't know. We've gotten everyone seated.
Well, we could do the Lost. You know, the I don't really feel like
previously a Lost.
No, the sound effect.
All right, what will we flashback to though?
Well, it'll be your flashback.
Yeah. Ah! So the reference was a Lost on you.
Oh.
That was funny, Chris.
Oh, it was a pun. I did that on purpose.
I know. That's why I pointed it out, to give you credit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Flight 1180 going?
LA to Australia, LA to Sydney. We haven't decided where Flight 11A is going.
Yeah. Well, it should either be trans-Pacific, trans-Atlantic, or transcontinental, I feel like, because we should be on the plane for a while.
I feel like Moira is... maybe that's L.A. to Sydney, why not? Because then
wait.
Moira could be Australian, visiting her mom in Australia.
It could be L.A. to maybe New York Sydney. To Paris.
What about, like, Scotland? Moira. Scotland to New York.
New York to London?
New York to London.
New York
okay.
to London.
Okay.
Yeah, because if it's New York to London, then I would get a flight to Scotland from Heathrow.
Yeah, I don't think you could probably fly internationally directly to
Scotland.
Also, if I just broke out of prison, I wouldn't be in prison in Europe, probably.
Right.
All right, so maybe you should...
And also, then you're getting
to visit your mother.
Okay,
right?
So on my way to visit my mother. So New York to London, because I'm on my way to visit my mom in Scotland.
Right. Okay. All right, so I'm going to flash back to...
As it says in the packet, explain what we're doing, you know, like do a little...
Right. No, I'm just trying to think of where what the flashback would be.
All right.
You stealing something, I bet.
Right, but it has to be kind of important. It's not just going to be... It shouldn't just be random... Oh, okay. I know what the flashback's going to be. All right, so I'm going to start with... you know, boarding the last passenger, everyone comes in. You know, I close the door in the terminal, walk into the plane, seal up the cockpit and everything. And as I'm running through the routine, you know, as I close up the door, I look down and I see Ryan, or, you know, Sheila, storing her bag in the overhead bin, and I see the Roadrunner patch again. And I start thinking back to the first time I heard of the Roadrunner. So let's see, how long ago would that be? 5 years ago? More.
Probably a little more. I mean, you probably were in jail for at least a while.
Yeah, let's say, say 10. Why not?
Okay, so it was 10 years ago. So I'm thinking this is like the start of our rivalry.
Right.
So 10 years ago. So it's just 2002. We had just landed in Lisbon.
Okay.
Well, no, because if you're American. Chicago.
Okay, Chicago.
I keep saying Chicago.
Keep saying
why not?
Chicago.
All right, so we had just landed in Chicago, and I had just pulled a job. I broke into someone's house and stole a few $1,000 worth of diamonds that I was going to pawn when we landed in Florida.
You stole Oprah's Emmy.
No, I want something of value.
Will's Emmy.
I want to do that.
So she keeps all her diamonds in her Emmy.
That's clever. No one ever looks in the Emmy.
Right.
Well, no, I wouldn't be able to fence Oprah's Emmy.
Emmy's the TV one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but you can show it to me.
That's a little too
would I?
Obvious.
Boy.
You stole a suitcase of money from Mike Ditka.
Who's Mike Ditka?
The coach of the Bears.
Yeah.
The Bears.
How do you know that?
Because
I don't know.
Sketch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I'm gonna stick with diamonds.
Okay.
From Mike Ditka?
Oprah's diamonds.
Yes, from Mike Ditka, who was staying at Oprah's house.
Yes. Mike Ditka was staying at Oprah's house and just got a gift of diamonds for his birthday.
So we're landing in Chicago then?
No. We are in Chicago.
Okay.
I landed in Chicago and robbed the place overnight. And I get back to my hotel room and I turn on the TV and I see a report about police, you know, the string of burglaries.
You see your report and it gets interrupted by a report.
Oh, yeah, okay, so they start with a report about the coyote striking again.
Yeah.
And then it gets interrupted by breaking news of the high-speed police chase through the streets of Chicago. The police are chasing the criminal, the thief known as the Roadrunner. And I sit and watch glued to the television as this thief weaves in and out of traffic. And eventually manages to lose the police choppers or the news choppers.
Yeah, she has stolen one of those classic cars that you only see in chase movies, like a late 60s GTO or something like that. And, you know, she handles it like a fucking professional. I'm going to say that this is literally what happens. She drives under an underpass, under an overpass. And the chopper, you see the news camera catches this, goes to follow her out the other side, but she doesn't come out.
And just gone.
And she's just gone. She just disappeared somehow, and nobody really knows.
So I'm sitting and watching. That's pretty damn impressive.
The anchor says, well, when it comes to ratings, Coyote, the Roadrunner's going to beat you every time.
We'll see about that. Okay, so I'm gonna retcon, actually. I didn't just score diamonds. It was a smaller score. It was something like just cash
okay.
that I stole from someone's house. And that's what made me decide to up my game. There's 2002, so...
Well, then wait, if it was just some cash that you stole, why were you on the news? It should have been something pretty good.
That's true.
Unless it was a large amount of cash. Maybe, like, you stole an ATM.
Like that would be pretty hard to get away with.
It just showed up somewhere later without any of the cash.
I like that idea.
You stole an ATM.
That's your calling card. No, even inside better, the ATM is a picture. It's
the next person who goes to get a withdrawal just gets pictures of coyotes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so instead, you just dollar bill sized pictures of coyotes. You fill the ATM. Or
the other thing,
fake dollar bills with a picture of Wile E. Coyote
instead of to George Washington.
Yeah,
they could call you. They could call you the Coyote because you always people always report you robbing places with like a load of really weird gadgets.
I don't know.
Or all of your robberies involve rockets for some reason.
you get away by painting a fake tunnel
and just dive through.
No, that's how Ryan got away.
Yeah. I like that. I just stole an ATM and replaced it, except all the money was gone.
Yeah.
So maybe your thing is you dress up as like an ATM repairman or something.
Well, that's what I used to do. Well, I stepped up my game. But no, it was breaking and entering, so it couldn't be that.
You broke into the bank. Probably be grand larceny.
Yeah, breaking and entering is more like a house.
Yeah.
So I stole diamonds from someone's house.
How about you stole diamonds from every house on the block?
That's a lot of houses with diamonds.
Yeah.
I stole something from every house on the block. Jewelry, diamonds.
You stole all the jewelry from every house.
Yes.
Okay. Block.
That's a good one. Yes. All right. And do we want to be ridiculous and say there's like a criminal, secret criminal message board online somewhere?
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe. Why not?
All right. So, I decide I post
Craigslist.
I said secret, Ed. I go to our secret criminal message board.
Craigslist slash secret.
Reddit/r/secret criminals.
Alright, so we've got our own subreddit.
Yes.
For crime.
Because no one knows what a Reddit is in 2002. And I leave.
How about baking? It's, baking or something.
No, it couldn't actually be a subreddit.
I don't know. I don't go on Reddit. I don't know how it works.
So I find our secret. This is taking entirely too long. I go to the secret message board.
4chan and post on B.
I hate you. And I make a post, you know, entitled "To Coyote." You know, that was some impressive footwork.
Well, you're the coyote, so it'll be
cute. Oh yeah, to Roadrunner. That was some impressive footwork, but I'm gonna have to top you. Just coyote.
You just write the letter to yourself.
Let's see. So right before you board the plane to go to Chicago, you decide to check your email, and there is a reply to your thread that says, "Dear Coyote, catch me if you can." -rr.
Beep beep.
P.S. P.S. Meet motherfucker.
All right. I'm going to give this black die to Ryan.
Meet me.
Meet me. All right. That took entirely too long. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's all right.
Well, maybe if you rob the ATMs by... Sorry.
It's your scene, Chris. You go rob an ATM.
Maybe I will. I can do that if I want. No, I think maybe I should be in court getting divorced.
Regardless of whether you want to establish or...
Yeah, it's going to end poorly for you.
Give this away. All right. now that all the ending is out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's going to end badly for Chris.
And I think I'm in divorce court.
Or it could be... It could be the finals for your first semester senior year of college when your girlfriend and soon-to-be wife first tells you that she's pregnant.
Okay. She calls in the middle of the final. I might turn my phone off for that, though.
Well, no, I mean, it's finals, you know, it's finals week. You're in your dorm studying.
I think maybe she should tell me right before I go for my most important final, and I fail it because I'm so stressed out, and that's why I never got my degree.
So this is how it starts. Chris, you're seating me, and I look up at you and I say, "Excuse me, what's your name?"
Dexter.
Dexter. Everything that I have asked for, I am entirely entitled to. The free glass of wine, the headphones, the blankets, the peanuts, and my first flight wings.
Ma'am, you have to tell me that you don't serve peanuts
anymore. Miss, I'm sorry, but we don't have peanuts on the plane anymore because children have been dying because...
Don't talk to me about...
first flight wings because we don't have them anymore. You got your hot towel, you got your blanket, you got two complimentary glasses of wine.
Don't talk to me about children. Do you know what sacrifices... Do you have children, sir?
I have seven children.
Do you know what sacrifices I have made for my children?
Tell me.
The sound just fades out. Right. Moira.
And she goes, well, and then it just flashes
because
back.
She has a list.
Yes.
Yeah. And none of them are as good as any of the things I'm about to give up, I think. And your testicles in a glass.
All right, so you're just getting ready to leave. You're packing up your bag to go leave for your particle physics final.
Right.
Yeah, probably like 401 or something. Yeah, like your physics 401 final.
It's an independent study.
You have to give a presentation.
Yes.
Like, it's like a big presentation of this research paper, this research project you've been doing all semester.
And the entire physics department is going to be there to, you know, give you an oral exam.
And peer review you.
Right.
So you're packing, you know, double-checking your things, packing up.
It's a panel of angry nerds looking to rip your throat out.
All right.
And there's a...
Yeah.
Sorry, Luigi.
You tricked the dog.
There's nobody at the
door. Someone's at the door, Luigi. Go bark again.
It's okay.
Go and run out into the street and almost get hit by a car thief. Almost.
All right, so there's a knock at the door.
Come in.
Who wants to be...
And you started it, so right. Why don't you be his...
Oh, Dex, I'm so glad you're here.
Well, not for long. I have to go do my test. Big presentation.
Oh, I know you're going to do great. You're so smart. She gives you a kiss on the cheek.
Oh, thank you, honey. I really am about to step out. So.
Oh, I know. I just wanted to come by and wish you luck.
Oh, stop. So appreciated. You're the best, hon. Anyway, let me just grab my stuff and...
Oh, before you go, just one little thing.
Okay, but...
I'm pregnant.
What?
I'm pregnant. She's smiling, as if it's no big deal.
You're what?
Pregnant. With child. Carrying. Knocked up.
In the family way.
We were very careful.
Huh? Apparently not careful enough.
Mean.
Huh? There's a bun in the oven.
He misses the presentation because it's just another half hour of pregnancy.
I really don't know how else to say that, and I mean that in the most literal way possible.
I really don't understand how you're doing that, unless you're lying.
You hear from the top bunk of your bunk bed, your roommate who is just like has his head buried under his pillow. You got your fucking girlfriend pregnant.
But
yeah, what he said.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm positive. Took the test and everything.
Sometimes the tests are wrong.
I did it 3 times.
Sometimes you're wrong 3 times?
Dex, I'm pregnant.
What are we going to do?
Oh, well, I guess you're just going to have to drop out of school and help me raise a child. Of course, we'll have to get married first.
Oh, God. I thought for a second you were being serious there, but I get it. You're always playing on me.
Dexter Schmeckley, you are going to help me raise this child.
You're serious?
I booked the wedding reception already.
What? How did you do that?
Well, I know someone. That's not important.
You did it before you told me you were even pregnant.
Because I knew I was pregnant.
Why didn't you tell me right away?
I did. After I called the planner.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Can you guys have this conversation in the hallway?
No!
Don't you have a presentation to go to? Don't worry, we'll talk about this when you get back. No. She gives you a kiss on the cheek and just sort of pushes you out the door.
Oh my God, I'm already 15 minutes late. He runs.
You're not the only one that's late.
Shut up, Brad!
You sort of compose yourself.
He leaves a very important-looking bag.
You open the door to your, to your
review committee, packing up their things, getting ready to leave.
Ah, Mr. Schmeckley, you decided to show up.
Oh,
how very kind of you.
I'm sorry, I just had some news.
Yes, well, afraid you're going to have a little bit more news. The test is over.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. It was just emergency.
It's rather hard to grade a student on an exam when they don't show up.
No, but I'm here. There was an emergency, but I'm here now.
Mr. Schmeckley, we all have very important things to do, racquetball.
Mm. Sounds good.
I was thinking squash today.
Oh.
Well, you know what? I hurt my knee last time. I think I'm going to sit this one out. Maybe I'll just go for a lap in the pool.
All right. Well, you know what? I could use a swim, too.
No, all right.
I could just... I'll give you
I'm going to go back to my office and grab my trunk. Meet you at 15, Leo?
Version
see you soon, Kent.
Of the presentation, you'd
Mr.
be
Schmeckley.
Out of here at the same time anyway. You can take some points off for being late, but listen, really, please. There was just...
I'll tell you what, Mr. Schmeckley. Try again next year. Good luck.
But
Mr. Schmeckley, you failed. At least have some dignity.
Then he breaks down and cries. He just falls to his knees and sobs in the middle of the room.
Oh, I love it when they do that.
Professors are such dicks.
Yeah.
Well, we should stop at the faculty room and tell Jim about this one.
Oh, wait, no. Before we do that, we should go by the security room and see if Don taped it.
Oh, my son showed me this new phone. If I press this button, look! It's a recorder anyway.
Stop recording me.
It just so the scene cuts back to real time. Dexter Schmeckley is starting to tear up in front of Moira. Excuse me, have you listened to any word I said? Why are you crying?
I just haven't seen my son in 2 years.
Oh well,
I that's just too call bad for him you, every weekend.
Isn't it like a father to be a deadbeat?
I think you should say, "Oh, have some dignity."
And my ex-wife just hangs up on me every time.
Have some dignity.
She
now,
tells him
James sees Dexter crying in the back of the plane and walks over. Hey, Dexter, how you doing, buddy?
I ride him every week.
Yeah, okay. Why don't you go to the front and start getting ready for the safety presentation?
Oh, and another glass of wine for me, please?
Absolutely, ma'am. Let me just finish seeing the other passengers as soon as we take off.
Well, if Dexter's not doing anything, he can bring me one right away.
Well, Dexter has to go get ready for the in-flight presentation, but as soon as we're done with that, I'll make sure you bring
glass of wine. I want a glass of wine right now. What I believe that Mindy said I could get anything I wanted.
Well, all right then, ma'am. I'll bring Dexter up front and we'll bring you a glass of wine.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Let's go, Dexter.
You just kind of have to lead sniveling Dexter up by his elbow.
I just kind of push you in front of me. God damn it, man. Get yourself together. Go bring the old biddy a glass of wine.
Oh, send someone else.
Oh, fine, I'll do it. So, pour that and bring it back to you. All right, I say that ended badly for Chris.
Yes.
Well, I hate my character.
Yes.
Yeah, your character.
Wink.
Chris, right, what's wrong with his character?
All right, the Ed Crest, it's up to you.
All right, I will... I guess I'll establish again. I think this would be a good good scene for me to meet Ryan.
All right, so, yeah... I
shuffle past the crying flight attendant.
Moira takes out her knitting needles and starts to knit some socks.
Socks.
Yeah.
The bag that I have is very, very heavy, and I struggle to get it up into the overhead compartment.
I feel like you're probably drawing attention to yourself.
Just a little bit. So, several people ask me if I want their help, and I refuse all of them. No, no, thank you, I've got it.
So James comes back and sets the glass of wine down in front of you, and just comes and helps you put the bag in.
There you go, miss.
Yeah, there you go.
Watching you intently.
She gives you this withering glare, and she looks up at Chris, who is still kind of, you know, sniveling and trying to compose himself. Is he okay?
He'll be fine. Can I get you anything before we take off?
You look back over and he's downing a little airplane bottle of scotch. It'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
If you have any sleeping pills, that would be wonderful. Let's just spend the trip asleep.
I'm afraid we don't carry pharmaceuticals like that on the flight, ma'am. I'm very sorry.
All right, then.
I could bring you a drink to help calm your nerves.
That would be wonderful.
Any preference?
Vodka, please.
Straight?
Yes.
All right.
I believe that I asked for some peanuts.
Ma'am, I'm very sorry. We no longer serve peanuts in airplanes due to allergies.
Mindy said I could have anything I wanted.
Well, Mindy can't give you things that don't exist, ma'am. She's not on the plane.
Well, I guess I'll take pretzels, then, or whatever it is that you have.
Pretzels we can do.
And for the inconvenience of no peanuts, I would like a complimentary pair of headphones.
Sure thing, man.
She's already wearing them.
All the headphones are complimentary.
Yeah, and she's already wearing them.
That's okay. So I go walk away. As I walk away, I turn and give you another, like, where do I know her from looks. And I go to get your drink.
As you sit next to Moira, excuse me, dear, I don't mean to be forward, but it's awfully vulgar of you to be so physical in public, you know, lifting the bag yourself. You should really get one of the gentlemen to do that for you.
Oh, I
didn't look like anything.
I mean, that crying fellow, he certainly could have done it for you.
I prefer to do it myself if it's all the same to you. It's,
Oh, my.
Chauvinism is dead.
Oh, my, you're one of those modern women, aren't you? I bet you do something like drive a truck or, you know,
fast car or something.
Or deliver mail.
Or deliver mail, or you're a truck driver, or a race car driver, something like that. And
I've been known to
wreck. What the lesbians are doing these days?
She looks over at you and says, I've been known to drive a race or two.
Mm. Well, I think that's perfectly horrid. But you look like a sweet girl. How did you get into such a vulgar line of work?
Well, one thing really led to another, I suppose.
And this woman's 63, and she's got the sensibilities of a...
She was raised proper. In Scotland, apparently.
Apparently.
I hope her mother beat her very hard.
At a mud farm.
Sorry. Where did you get these vulgar personality traits, or whatever it is?
Sensibilities, I think.
I had a lot of brothers, and they were always beating the shit out of each other.
And
I learned very quickly that if I didn't want the shit beaten out of me, then I had to hit harder than they did.
Well, boys will be boys. Now, my dear, I really don't think you should speak like that. That is very coarse language, and you're a lady, a very pretty one at that.
Very, very sorry to have offended you. Where's that vodka?
Coming. So,
tell me, dear, what are you doing? Why are you headed to London?
Oh, I'm looking for a career.
Dexter's hand is shaking. A little airplane bottle of vodka and a cup with some ice in it. Here you go, miss.
Thank you. She takes
shuffles
it
away.
She takes it and gives you a smile. I'm looking for a career change. I didn't have very much luck in my old field, so I'm looking to change over. Well, thinking about maybe becoming a police officer.
From race car driving to police officer, talk about going from the frying pan into the fire. Why don't you take up something like nursing or teaching or be a librarian?
Oh, I don't think I could ever see myself behind a desk. I'm far too eager to be where the action is.
Action, action. That's all that you care, you modern women care about.
Oh, God. And what is that? She like, freezes with the vodka halfway up to her lips, and she looks over at you and says, "And what is that supposed to mean?"
Just then, James walks in with a bag of pretzels and a little thing of headphones and gives them to Moira. "Here you are, ma'am. Free another pretzels and headphones and another glass of wine."
"Now, you young man, you look like a kind, old-fashioned type of gentleman."
"No, I try."
"Now, do you find it attractive for a woman to be dangerous and to drive fast cars and to be a police officer and things like that?"
"Well, personally, ma'am, I think that women could do whatever makes them happy."
"Thank you."
"You're just encouraging them."
"Well, I'm very sorry you feel that way. Is there anything else I can get you?" He turns to the person saying, "Anything I can do for you?" And you know, just talking to people and tells everyone, "All right, everyone, please, you know, sit down." The fasten seatbelt sign comes up. "Ma'am, you're going to have to put the knitting needles away while we take off."
"What am I going to do with knitting needles? How do you think I'm going to hurt somebody with knitting needles?"
"Ma'am, you have to store all belongings away when the plane is in takeoff."
"I mean, of course, we have this crazy action-loving woman next to me. She's probably going to grab them and stab us all, so I should put them away. You're right.
If I'm stabbing anyone, it'll be myself."
"That sounded like a threat to me. I think she just threatened me."
"Ma'am, she definitely did not threaten you."
"She just said she was going to stab me. That was a threat."
"No, she said she was going to stab herself. If anything, it was misplaced sarcasm."
"I have never been involved with such rude people in my entire life."
Dexter's standing behind you, pantomiming, stabbing you with one of your needles. Some of the other passengers laugh.
And now, Miss, was it,
Sheila? Yes.
Is there anything else I can get you?"
"More vodka."
"You know, it's funny, you look just like someone I met once named, Charlene."
She kind of starts a little bit and looks up at you and she goes, "Well, they do say that I have one of those faces."
"Charlene, Sheila, both sound like names of floozies to me."
James gives you a knowing smile as he walks away. "One more vodka."
"And another wine, please."
Sure thing, ma'am." "Don't bring her anything," I say to Dexter as we walk away.
Dexter wasn't bringing her anything unless he had to. Guess Dexter will do his buckle seatbelt. I don't know how it goes.
Yeah, they go to the front and start doing the safety demonstration. So I guess that ended
for Ed
neutrally.
He got more wine.
It wasn't bad, so I guess that means it was good.
Yeah,
he got all the things he asked for except the peanuts that you couldn't give him.
Right.
And the fresh flight wings.
I will give
and also some information
to Cristobal.
We could have escalated it a little more and had Ed accuse me or other people on the plane of different things, but we
there was plenty of time for that.
All right. Let's
we haven't
see.
Even taken off yet.
No, that's true.
It's like going to be like, what, 12 hours? No, it'd be more like 6 or 7 hours to London.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I was supposed to do that.
Don't worry. Like I said, we've got 7 hours to London.
All right, let's see. What should Charlene's next scene be?
I did already accuse you of trying to stab me with my needle.
That's true.
Yeah. And there was the whole thing with the Arabs.
That was...
And you said that Chris looks like he's a little shaky with the beverage cart.
Yeah, you did make Dexter cry.
It was that.
Not even a little bit.
I think, though, I'm going to continue to ask for wine because I think it'll be funny if she just gets drunker and drunker as the
Well, I feel like they're going to cut you off at some point.
They would, yeah, probably right about
but this is,
there.
But this is a zany fiasco.
That's true. Okay.
Forget reality.
All right, let's see. You know what? I can't.
So maybe you snuck on peanuts, and someone sitting close to you is like deathly allergic.
Oh my god! All right.
You should probably confront Alex.
All right. Yeah.
Or maybe Alex should confront.
Well, then, I think the way we've been playing it is that I don't know that he's the coyote.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, he knows that I'm the roadrunner.
Why do I feel like you guys are going to have sex before the end of this thing?
Yeah, we're going to join the Mile High Club.
No, I haven't even thought of that. Yeah, definitely.
All right, so I'll establish then. After we take off, they're about to start the first in-flight movie.
Biodome with Pauly
Shore. Of course. It's
always Biodome with Pauly Shore.
Yep.
What could be the other movie? Something even worse.
Biodome 2?
Could it be Geely?
Biodome Encino Man? And it's a Pauly Shore double feature?
Sure. Well, they probably just have TV in it now. It's not.
Yeah, well,
they don't really have like
not in this plane.
Oh, okay.
Not in the Acme. Acme Airlines. Acme
Pauly Shore has an exclusive contract with Acme.
In fact, actually, the second movie was filmed just for the Acme film, Acme plane. Fucking shoot me.
We're getting there.
Acme Plane Company. So it's the Acme Plane movie.
It's Biodome 2, but they spend the entire time making reference to Acme Airlines because it's just blatant plot
product
placement.
Maybe this could be your flashback to running over Louis.
To getting arrested.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take you a bed, Di.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so it's sort of the same setup as before. There are police cruisers behind me, news choppers, police choppers. I'm in a very fast classic car, you know, ducking and weaving all over the road.
What is it, James?
I'm James. Yeah.
James is glued to his TV watching again.
The police are.
I don't know. It's a woman.
The newscasters are speculating about how this is probably another daring crime by the Roadrunner, I think if we want to reinforce the theme of overt sexism that we've had going on, they should just assume that it's a man.
Refer
to the Roadrunner as a he. There's this very jarring turn down a side street, and you can see on the news chopper feed a dog, a very tiny dog, runs out into the middle of the street, and the cameraman like zooms in because he thinks he's gonna get a good splatter shot of this dog getting obliterated, but instead the car swerves and slams into a tree. The police cruisers, pull up all around it. Cops everywhere draw their guns, get out of the car. Somebody walks up and opens up the driver's side door, hauls the driver out. The driver is again, I'm going to say she doesn't really get creative with her dress. She's just always in the same kind of like.
I figured she'd be in like a black suit.
Yeah. So dark slacks,
not like
t-shirt.
A business suit, but just all black.
Like
dark slacks,
like Kill Bill, except black instead of yellow.
All right, so
booby.
I was thinking, sort of like booby. black pants and a t-shirt, maybe with a hat on and sunglasses, and they slam the driver onto the trunk of the car, put the driver's hands behind his back, quote unquote, and they whip the hat off of. The driver's head, and there's long flowing brown hair spilling out, and everybody's shocked that it's a It's how long
his hair is.
Moira's sitting at home in her rocking chair and just goes, ah, disgusting.
James is sitting in his hotel room and just starts cracking up.
And they're, you know, making a big
sitting
spectacle.
Sitting in a hotel room with a bottle of sleeping pills and a bottle of vodka crying.
Oh, can't do it. He just throws the sleeping pills across the room.
They're making, the news media is making a big stink about how, you know, the woman thief couldn't run over the run over the dog.
I go check the secret message board, and everyone is just making, you know, horrible derogatory posts about the Roadrunner and how she's, you know, a dumb woman who couldn't kill a dog just to get away with the crime.
We thought that she had balls, but apparently we were wrong.
Yeah. Thought she was tough as nails, and apparently as soon as one breaks, she gives it up.
And all the other horrible misogynistic hate that the internet.
Once again, this is not the views of us at Ragnarok.
On the plus side,
they are Will's views.
On the plus side, a middle-aged woman with short black hair becomes your pen pal and. In prison to thank you for not running her dog over. That's my mom.
Thanks, Ed.
I graciously answer her letters.
Mom.
So yeah, you can see as the cops haul her into the back of a squad car, push her down into the back. She looks completely pissed and defeated. You know, because of her one moment of compassion and kindness cost her freedom.
Yeah. And so much more.
All right. And I'm going to give this die to Chris.
Yeah, I need to have a bad ending. Definitely.
No good will come for Dexter.
The most innocent person in this whole thing.
Yeah, he's really... He's the only one... I mean, I'm not...
See, my characters aren't all.
I'm not
dicks.
Guilty of any. Well, maybe I will be by the end.
But you're just a bitch.
But I'm just terrible.
Ryan and I are thieves, and Chris is just pathetic.
Yeah.
Well, no, your characters are either Thompson or Bob Watt.
This isn't Bob Watt.
It's pretty close.
No, Bob was different. He was in. Yeah, genius. What about my Russian guy that bad things always happen to? I think this guy's closer to him.
Okay.
What was his name?
Pieter something.
Pieter, yeah.
Yeah,
Pieter. All right, I really don't know where to go with this scene right now.
Maybe
you should talk to the Roadrunner.
Yeah, maybe he's coming out of the bath. She's coming out of the bathroom, and you're just standing there like...
Yeah, okay, so... Yeah, you go to the front of the plane, because you're in, like, seat 9, so you go to the front of the plane to use the bathroom. And when you come out, I'm just standing there.
Meep.
Cinematically, let's say that your scene began with you excusing yourself, going to the bathroom. You
right.
Have a flashback in the bathroom.
It's an odd place to have a flashback.
No, there's one of those cheesy shots where she goes to throw water on her face,
yeah. Right.
And she looks up and into the mirror.
She's looking in the mirror. Exactly, and then you finish your scene, and you're like, all right. And then you open the door, and he's just there.
Boom! Meet me.
Hello, Sheila.
Hello. She looks at your name tag. James?
Feeling okay?
Doing all right. I wasn't aware that we were on a first-name basis.
I try to get friendly with all the passengers. Just make sure everyone's, you know, comfortable. Doesn't feel the need to flee somewhere. It's very tight space. Could get... dangerous.
Can I get you anything? Pretzels, more vodka, birdseed?
Well, thank you for your concern. I'll just go back to my seat.
Oh, Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
Meet me. I wink at you.
It's a good thing you're not there, Chris.
You wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even known there was something to get.
Sheila looks around the cabin of the airplane. Everybody is either asleep or watching the movie or just completely...
reading a book or
something. Yeah, completely zoned out. She
Moira is just watching everyone intently.
She looks at you and just sort of grabs you by the collar and hauls you into the lavatory.
Oh,
that's what you overhear, I guess.
Usually it's the passengers doing this sort of thing.
You at least notice this going on. You should get up and go stick your ear against the bathroom door.
Okay, yeah. Moira notices this happening, walks over and sticks her ear to the bathroom door.
Alright, now listen.
Aren't you supposed to be in Sing Sing for another 5 years?
I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm on my way to Europe. I'm going to start a new life.
Oh, good for you.
Gotta sing, sing.
Obviously, you know who I am.
Let's just say I've followed your work.
Well, we'll pretend that isn't creepy.
Let's just say I've watched news footage of you and jerked off.
Furiously.
What do you want?
Want?
Well, you tipped me off that you know who I am without calling the authorities. You haven't alerted the air marshal, otherwise I'd be in custody. What do you want?
Let's just say that I'm getting ready to turn over a new leaf, too. And as long as things on this flight go smoothly, I won't have to tell the air marshal anything. But you're on my turf now. So don't pull any shit.
She laughs at you. She looks at you, she looks down at your name tag and says, "Well, James O'Neill, dangerous as you might be, flight attendant and all. Let's just say if things go according to plan, I won't get caught."
Well, then I guess it's you versus me, Roadrunner. And I leave the lavatory.
You leave the lavatory and
straighten my tie and go back to the station.
Yeah.
You can, someone's in this one. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize it was occupied.
Nothing to worry about, ma'am.
If you could just bring another glass of wine to my seat.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, she's going to head back to her seat.
Stumble back to her seat.
All right, I would say that ended well for you.
Okay, yeah.
Because
she doesn't even pretend she was really going to go to the bathroom.
I think that you exit through the curtain just as a drink cart gets pushed in front of the curtain, so then when Ryan goes to leave...
Do I want to fuck over Ryan or Ed? Ed. Your character's just...
Dangerous as you are, flight attendant and all.
Yeah.
I won't have... You stay... You stay out of my way and I won't have to hurt you.
Okay.
Man, I feel like this is probably one of the most offensive APs we've ever done.
Yeah.
It's sexist. It's racist.
It's commentary, okay? Yeah. Let's go with that. It's commentary.
Yeah, about how awful the flight system is in this country.
Yeah.
Did you see how long the characters had to wait to get on this plane?
Mm-hmm.
It's not right.
It was like 6 hours.
Yeah. I mean, we cut that part out. We didn't want to bore you all.
Right. Yeah, we just made it up now, honestly.
No, we played it. We sat here for 6 hours doing nothing.
And Ed was in character the whole time.
Oh, it was awful. We were all trying to placate him, but it just didn't work. So, yeah. Chris.
We definitely have themes about sexism and masculinity and...
Racism.
Only a little bit.
And crotchety old ladies.
Alright, I don't know.
I think the real moral of the story is that old people should just go away.
She's not crotchety, she's self-righteous.
True.
She should still just go away.
Yes.
The elderly should hurry up and die. Now we've added ageism to the mix.
See? That's not offensive at all.
Hey, old people. Die.
Old people don't use the internet. Who's going to care?
Now, quick, insult me, and then we can add ableism to
I've
the
never...
list.
Hey, Ryan, you don't have depth perception, so you're not as good of a person as the rest
Myers
of us.
Myers will get mad when he listens to this, but I'm really glad he's not here for this game.
Yeah, Myers would push this way too far.
Yeah. Okay. Chris?
Never understands winking. Maybe...
We're trying to work that in.
So maybe this will be a flashback to when I'm showing you one of the things I bought.
I'm thinking this should also be you're showing off your loot, but there is an FBI agent who comes around to talk to you guys.
Okay.
Because they're looking for...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're...
All right, so maybe we can start with me kind of sitting...
So maybe...
Break room?
Well, I figured
on the plane.
Like, you see, I have a new watch or something while we're getting drinks and things ready for passing.
Oh, it's a red eye. Everyone's asleep, and we're just kind of sitting in a little.
Well, if we want the FBI agent to talk to you guys,
oh, that's right. It would have to be
on the ground.
Okay. So yeah,
so let's say you guys are in the break room. Chris, you're staring at your paycheck stub.
My phone sex paycheck stub.
It's embarrassing.
It's $3.78.
I come over and sit down. Just get a cup of coffee.
Hi.
How you doing, Dex?
Good. How are you, James?
Yeah. Can't complain.
Very nervously, it's like trying to shove his paycheck stub into his pocket, but he's botching it because he's so nervous.
What do you got there?
Just a check. Putting it in my pocket.
Check from whom?
My mom, the birthday check.
Oh, happy birthday. Well, didn't realize.
Well, very late, but thank you.
Oh, well, happy belated birthday then.
Yeah. Hey.
You know what? It's your birthday. Here, I just take my watch off
and give it to you.
No.
I can't take a... Oh,
no,
no,
here.
That's your watch.
Trust me, I don't mind. I can get another one.
This is a fucking Rolex.
Yeah, happy birthday.
No, dude, this is... More money than I make in a year.
Don't worry about it. I can get a new one.
You're putting on a new Rolex. No.
Chris,
that's a little too much.
Chris, if your ex-wife sees you with this watch, they will take the rest of your fucking paycheck.
Do you know what else? I just realized it's... Your mom sent you a late birthday check.
She didn't really.
But that idea makes you so much sadder.
Your mom sent you a birthday check, but it's late.
I can't even.
You're so unlovable, even your mom forgot.
No, I insist. Take it.
If my ex-wife sees a Rolex, I swear to God, I'll never see another dime.
So don't let the bitch see it, man.
Money.
That's fine. You want to sell it? Go ahead.
I can't.
There's a great pawn shop in town here. Harold doesn't ask any questions. Great guy.
Chris, you should go and sell it and get arrested.
No, but I never figure out he's a thief. That would tip me off pretty well.
Yeah.
I think I'd figure it out then.
So go sell it for the money, man. Whatever makes you happy.
But... This is the most generous thing anyone's ever done for me. Just at the drop of a hat.
Oh, it's your birthday. I didn't know. I felt bad.
Not as bad as my mother, who sent a check 6 months late.
That's rough.
She wrote the wrong date on it.
Mindy and a man in a suit walk in.
He's talking about a real check, but not the one in his pocket.
Right, yeah.
James, Dexter.
Oh, hi, Mindy.
This is Agent Dalton from the FBI.
Gentlemen?
Oh, FBI.
Yes. He has a few questions. Nobody's in trouble. I don't want you to worry. But he's just
Thank
looking...
God. I thought my fucking picture of an ex-wife sent you for a minute. Oh, God. Any little fucking thing. And she...
Is there a reason you should be worried about what your ex-wife thinks, sir?
No. It's just that...
Is there a reason she would contact the FBI to come after you?
Yeah, because she's a bitch.
Now, Dexter, I know that we're not in earshot of passengers, but you should not use that language. It's offensive.
No, please, Mindy. I'd like to hear more of what he has to say about his ex-wife. Dexter, please, go on. Tell me.
What would you like to know? Any drop of a hat. Child support check is 20 minutes late when I drop it off because I was in a car accident. Well, that doesn't stop her from taking me to court and doubling the fine child support payments. I want to see the kids for their birthday. And she tries to get a restraining order put against me for my own kid.
Dexter, what's your last name?
Schmeckley.
Mr. Schmeckley. Would you say that you're having some financial troubles?
Oh, God, yes.
Ever consider maybe turning to a less noble way of raising funds?
Mindy gets a little bit defensive of her employees, but in the completely wrong way. And she says, well, Agent Dalton, he obviously can't be doing too poorly. I mean, look, he's wearing a brand new Rolex.
How'd you afford that?
It was a birthday present.
Yeah?
Yeah, belated birthday.
Belated birthday. That's the kind of story we hear all the time. You know, I'd really like to have a long conversation with you. Would you mind coming along with us and just having a chat?
That bitch did send you, didn't she?
Language like that not gonna do you well.
I feel like but we have to go because we have a flight coming in a few minutes.
Dexter, nobody is in trouble here.
Nobody's in trouble. They're just being asked to go with the FBI. Tell me what the fucking bitch told you.
Whoa, Dex, calm down.
So, you get angry and take a couple of steps too close to the agent. He pulls out a taser and fires it at you.
Don't taser.
He pulls out a zip line.
Mace me while I'm on the ground.
He maces you.
Agent Dalton, that's a bit excessive, isn't it?
He's time back, man. He approached a federal agent.
Oh, God.
Agent Dalton's partner comes in and holds his gun on you. I'm a federal agent. I'm armed. Agent Dalton takes out a zip line and puts you in cuffs. I'm afraid you're going to have to come with us.
He's just crying.
I'm sorry, Mindy. Looks like you're going to have to find another flight attendant for this flight.
Oh, goodness. James, would you mind pulling a double?
No, that's absolutely, that's fine. Holy smokes.
they escort you out, even though this is Chris's scene, technically we'll do a little tail end of it. But apparently they're looking for some kind of a master thief.
Really?
Yes, they think that this person might be a flight attendant, because all of these robberies have been occurring in different cities.
These are pretty bad.
Wow.
Well, it's worse.
Come on, dude. Not Dex.
Oh, I didn't think it would be Dexter for a minute.
Although he did have that new Rolex.
Yeah.
That ended pretty bad for Chris.
I love how I didn't even have to do anything. I was all ready to charm him because I figured James is like charming model employee, so no one would ever suspect him. I was ready to charm the FBI agents.
Obviously, Dexter gets out of it.
Yeah,
right. She's
Kristen didn't really get picked up for suspicion. He was just going to be brought in for questioning, and then he got angry.
Yeah.
And a really dick FBI agent tased him, maced him, and probably kicked him in the ribs for good measure.
Probably.
Well, he probably wouldn't kick him if people watch it.
Yeah.
He tased him and maced him, and all he did was step at him.
Yeah.
What's a kick?
That's true. Why not? All right, so we got to roll for the tilts.
Yep.
Oh.
I have one die. And it rolled a 2.
10 black.
4 white.
I got 5, 8 white.
I have 2.
8 white.
So I think it's me and Chris.
Yes, it is.
Now, what do we use these dice here?
No, there's one in the middle.
Oh, we got to roll those again.
Yep, yeah, there's 4 and 4, so...
This one's going well so far. I like it.
Yeah. Not much has happened yet, which means Act 2 is going to be fucking crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
1, 2, 5.
I kind of like how I decided that I was going to try to stop Ryan from whatever his heist was.
And I still don't know that you're the coyote.
Yes.
I just think that you're some flight attendant.
Like, you're on my turf now. So what?
Chris, you want to go first? Or?
Go first.
All right, let's see.
1, 2, 5, 6.
1, 2, 5, and 6. So we got mayhem, tragedy, paranoia, and failure.
Paranoia and failure, I think.
Paranoia and failure. I think mayhem would work, too.
What? Well, okay. What are the things?
All right, on mayhem, we got an out-of-control rampage.
1, 2, 5, 6.
A frantic chase, cold-blooded score settling, and misdirected passion. Some of those could work. 2, for tragedy, we have death out of the blue. Somebody's life has changed, excuse me, forever in a bad way. Confusion followed by pain, and death after an unpleasant struggle.
I feel like death out of the blue could be funny if it's just some random passenger, like, no, none of us, just some random passenger has a heart attack.
No, I think if someone's going to be death out of the blue, it should be because Ed's character smuggled peanuts on board.
Oh, yes.
The peanuts.
Yes. I forgot about that genius idea I had, but it was really good. It should be that.
Almost as genius as a cup of diamonds.
Nothing as good as a cup of diamonds.
5 is paranoia. A stranger arrives to settle a score.
What seems
like dumb luck isn't. Things are afoot. The thing you stole has been stolen.
That could be good.
Somebody is watching, waiting for their moment. And 6 is failure. A stupid plan executed to perfection. Something precious is on fire.
Always good.
You thought it was taken care of, but it wasn't. And fear leads to a fateful decision.
I like the stranger arriving.
Stranger arriving to settle a score. I do think 5 is a good choice, so I'll go with 5. Paranoia.
Paranoia and mayhem, I think, are the best.
I was also leaning toward mayhem.
I'll lean you towards Alex.
No, Ryan's slightly closer.
Frantic chase.
Oh, guys, I don't think I could deal with a paranoia. I only want one noia.
Oh.
Ba-dum-tsh.
We can't do guilt either. Guilt is 4.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do paranoia. Oh, you did paranoia.
Yeah.
Then I won't do paranoia.
This is our friend Will. You might remember him from such things as
everything we talk about.
Oh, Will. You're a wonderful human being.
We love you. I hope you're listening to this.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, I'm going
to listen to R.I.P.
If somebody is listening to this who talks to Will, tell
failure,
him we love
him.
Okay.
Which means, Ryan, when you're editing this, you have to tell Will we love
him. Yeah, failure. That's 6.
6. Okay.
Failure.
And I'll define yours, and you can define mine.
Sounds good.
So we've got 1, 2, and 5 left, right?
Yep.
Stupid plan executed to perfection. Something precious is on fire. You thought it was taken care of. I think we have to go with a stupid plan executed to perfection.
Okay.
Because breaking into the cargo hold of an airplane while it's in flight is a pretty goddamn stupid plan.
Yes. Especially when you're afraid to fly.
Yes.
I'm going to go with a stranger arrives to settle a score.
How's that going to work?
I don't know. But
maybe
I like it.
Maybe the air marshal is actually a fake criminal.
Hey, maybe. I mean, maybe the
a fake criminal.
No, the air marshal is actually a criminal who is pretending to be an air marshal.
I was gonna say, or whoever arrested Ryan.
Maybe Ryan's Mexican rival, Speedy Gonzalez, is in the plane.
God,
that's terrible.
Oh, great! Now we got more racism.
Oh, I was bemoaning the fact that we have another cartoon character.
In for a penny,
but the racism's
in for a pound.
That's true.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Ed, you're starting.
Yeah, unless we want to drive in reverse. Do we or no?
I think we should just keep going, sort of.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Well, it doesn't have to be right away.
So we have Stupid Plan and The Stranger.
Yeah.
All right, so...
this is Captain Jackson McDonald speaking. Would all passengers and crew please return to their seats? We are experiencing a little bit of turbulence. Should be out of it in a few moments.
So, everyone, please, like Captain said, turn to your seats, fasten your seatbelts.
Maury's going to take a big gulp of her wine.
Excuse me, dear. I need to talk to the flight attendants. If you could just...
Well, they said we should stay in our seats.
Yes, yes, I know they said that, but I need to... this is important. Okay. They always say that. They don't know what they're talking about. I fly all the time.
Okay. Your funeral. She stands up and lets you squeeze by.
She pushes past you and sort of runs... stumbles up the... Because she's now drunk. She stumbles up the aisle to the galley.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. You have to return to your seat.
Excuse me. Where's that crying guy? The fellow with the tears. The
Dexter.
He pulls the curtain aside. What?
Yes, Maggie. If I could just speak to Dexter.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. You have to return to your seat.
Pull the curtain back.
I mean,
the captain fastened the captain lit up the fastened seatbelt sign. That means all passengers must be in their seats.
Yes, well, I cannot go to my seat until I've spoken to Dexter or the captain or something, just not you.
And what is the problem, ma'am?
The problem is that I need to speak to somebody who is Dexter or the captain.
Ma'am, I assure you that I am the senior flight attendant on this flight. Anything that Dexter could do for you, I could do for you as well. Well,
anything Dexter can do, I can do better.
I don't say that, though. You're right behind
Dexter and I have developed a little understanding. We've become very friendly.
The curtain opens back up. What have we developed?
Dexter, darling, please, I need to ask you a question. If you could come help me to the laboratory, I'm feeling a bit faint.
You know, I was just going to say, let's just get this over with, but then she said she was going to the bathroom, and he closes the curtain again.
Ma'am, fine. The bathroom is right here. Please do what you have to do, and then return to your seats.
If Dexter could just help me to the laboratory, because I'm feeling faint. I don't know if I can
get
myself.
Ma'am, I will help. I walk over.
No, don't touch me! And she smacks you.
Ma'am, if you don't return to your seat now, I'm going to have the air marshal restrain you.
Oh, that's absurd, having the air marshal restrain me. I should have the air marshal restrain you.
Ma'am, please return to your seat.
You know what I mean. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't, ma'am. Please, if you could return to your seat.
Why don't you return to your seat?
At this point, the air marshal looks into the galley.
You're sitting in your seat.
they have those
little...
I know, but I'm standing to talk.
Yeah, right.
He looks into the galley through the curtain.
Yeah, we're sitting.
He's an older gentleman, salt and pepper hair, very, you know, close-cropped hair. Is there a problem in here, James?
Oh, no, we're fine. We're just going to get this...
I am being assaulted by one of your crew!
When she turns around to talk to him, I go...
Yes, ma'am. I apologize.
Alex,
we're gonna
a drinking motion.
Yes. We're gonna take care of this, ma'am. If you could just return to your seat.
So you'll have this man arrested then?
Yes, as soon as he gets off.
Oh,
the plane.
Good. Also, the lady sitting in the seat next to me, you should also arrest her.
Should I now?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because they're in cahoots. They're criminals, both of them.
Is that so?
That's right.
They are both criminals.
And what have they done?
I get the impression while this conversation is going on, you're gently leading her back toward her seat, sitting her down and buckling in her seatbelt, and then walking away when that's done, whether or not she's been...
They haven't done anything yet, but they're planning to do something. And I think that it's in all of our interest if we get the air marshal to restrain the two of them and put them, I don't know, and they did the laboratory or the cargage or something.
Cargage. The cargage hold.
She's drunk. It's okay.
The cargage hold or something.
I will do it as everything that I can, ma'am. Excuse me.
Thank you. What's your name, Captain?
Captain.
Who would be flying the plane?
Air Marshal Carlin, ma'am.
Oh, thank you, Air Marshal Carlin. Please just thank you, and I think that you are a fine gentleman, and I'm glad to see a man doing the job that you are doing, and not another woman.
He leads you back to your seat, as Chris said. Charlene...
You should be buckling the seatbelt right about the time he says, not a woman.
Charlene kind of exchanges a knowing glance with him. They
smile. When she says not a woman, she should basically spit almost in your character's face. Not a woman.
Yeah, leans over and sort of spits. You get spittle on you.
Yes. Air Marshal Carlin looks at Charlene and mouths, sorry.
And he walks back.
Yes.
Jesus, Bob. Sorry about that. Thanks.
Happy to help out, Jims.
Jims.
Happy to help out, James.
Is this the one that had tell you. James by anyone else?
Yes. Jims.
The
Hawaiian Punch.
They just keep getting crazier and crazier, don't they?
Oh, God.
The ideas that this one had, she's mouthing off about how you and the woman in seat 10 are... planning something. Some kind of heist.
James laughs nervous. Oh, man. What are we going to steal? The baggage?
Meanwhile, you hear from the back of the plane, and I know all about you too, young lady. And how you almost hit that poor, adorable Maltipoo. He didn't hurt anybody.
Why would you know that?
She recognized me.
Because she heard...
Right. Sure. She heard the whole
she
conversation.
Heard you call her the
I think runner. James says to the air marshal, "What are we going to steal? The baggage?"
We're glued to crime TV all day,
and then just gets this look on his face, like, "Holy shit, she's going to steal the baggage."
Yeah, pretty much. Air Marshal Carlin starts laughing.
Huh.
I suppose that was a bad ending for me.
Yeah, probably. Well, you pretty much. Made yourself look like a complete fool while you were trying to communicate something serious to the only person on board who could help.
Right.
And messed it up.
All right. Well, Chris, I'll give you
this. Don't give him away anymore. You keep him.
Yeah.
There.
Idiot.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Wow, that would have hurt.
All right. Let's see.
Oh,
he went to the ship. I thought he was being a lobster.
No, lobsters are like crabs, though. They slice.
I had no fucking clue what he was doing.
Let's see. Stupid plan executed to perfection.
Obviously, you'd have to, get in the elevator in the galley.
Right.
So we couldn't be there.
So, I've got two options. Three options, really. Excuse me. Either I could cause a diversion, which would probably be hard, considering we're in an airplane... and everybody's, in a confined space.
You just antagonize Ed.
Unbuckle my seatbelt.
All right.
I can't get this off.
There you go.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm just going to antagonize Ed. and make her make a scene. All right, so she
Shut up.
Charlene looks over at you and says, "Oh, so you recognize me, huh?"
Of course I recognize you. I watch court TV all day. I'm particularly fond of Judge Judy.
Sure you are.
She would have no mercy on the likes of you.
Absolutely not. That's why I'm going to Europe. Because, you know, they have much more liberated attitudes.
That's why I'm going to murder Judge Judy.
You think that you're going to escape the long arm of the law? Well, I have news for you, Missy. That air marshal over there told me personally that he's going to lock you in the cabbage bay.
I'm just picturing the bottom of the plate filled with cabbages.
Did you realize you did that?
Yes.
Okay.
Is he now?
Yes. You and that flight attendant.
A flight attendant, huh?
Yes, a flight attendant that was trying to blackmail you. I heard it all.
Well, let me tell you something about air marshals and flight attendants.
Let me think of something to tell you about air marshals.
Basically,
well, what is it that you have to tell me about air marshals and flight attendants?
I'm what you call a man-eater.
I could tell just by looking at you, you tramp.
Ever since I was in college, days when I was out having unprotected sex, using birth control.
Disgusting.
Burning my bras.
I don't want to listen to this. La 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 la.
When you put your, as you have your hand up to your ear, both your ears, la 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 la. Dexter walks by with the cart and bumps your elbow and knocks your hand away from your ear.
Oof. Well, no, she's,
I knew it.
She's in the window seat, isn't she?
Didn't you both have window seats?
No, no.
Oh.
That was the whole reason right. I sat next to her, because I'm in the aisle seat.
All right. He walks by the wing of the plane and bumps your elbow.
What I was going to say is...
I've been waiting to do that all game, and I should have realized I can't. Yeah.
Is this a red-eye flight, or are we...
you guys are in the...
I'm thinking I probably wouldn't have picked to rob a plane where everybody would be awake.
True, yeah, so I guess it's a red-eye.
All right, so at this point, people are just starting to, you know, drift off, fall asleep, and Ed's
apart from the ones that were watching the in-flight movie,
right.
Fell asleep within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And... Ed's character, Moira, putting her fingers in her ears and
at
yelling,
the top of her
yeah, la 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 la, starts to wake people up around the plane.
Okay.
And then, of course, ma'am, please, you're going to have to be quiet.
And you are going to have to be arrested.
Okay. All right, my turn. You've had it for a while. It's my turn again. Go ahead.
Good luck.
Why will no one listen to me? Deckley, these two are in cahoots to rub the plane. She
how terrible.
Had sex.
Oh.
I don't think you whisper that.
She had protected sex.
She thinks she whispered, but she's not.
People on the plane are looking and glancing uncomfortably.
Charlene smiles and waves.
Deckley, I know that you and I got off on the wrong foot, and frankly, I still think that you're a bit of a wimp, but your heart is in the right place.
Oh.
That's what's important. And I need you to take care of these two because they are criminals.
That's right, and they're going to rob the plane.
That's right.
And what are they going to steal?
Whatever's down there in the cargo storage room.
With the cabbages. Where are all the cabbages?
They're going to take the cabbages, then.
The cabbage! Cabbage bay!
In the kimchi business, huh?
Yes, I love Korean food.
We've got a motive.
Listen. So get that air marshal over here and have them take her away.
Listen, I'm terribly sorry to ask you this, Dexter, but would it be possible to have my seat moved? I noticed that there was a free seat up near the galley.
I'd love to say yes, I
think. There you go, it's ending well for us.
Yes. Yes. We can do that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Listen, ma'am, it's been lovely sitting with you. And
just because you're not sitting next
come
to
on,
me
you don't have the humor anymore.
Mean
sharing.
You're not going to get what's coming to you, Mrs. Wench Trollope.
Mrs. Wench Trollope. Nice.
Listen, when the sisterhood takes over the world, I'll be sure to put in a good word for you.
Dexter brings you up to your new seat and passes the drink cart, grabs a couple little airplane bottles of vodka, a couple glasses of ice, sits you down in your new seat, pours you one, pours another one.
Thank you.
It's my job to deal with her for the next 5 hours.
You have the patience of a saint.
He opens up the other bottle that he grabbed and pours it in his own glass.
Of course, it doesn't hurt to have a little more patience.
Yeah. To patience.
To patience.
James, I
sincerely hope the rest of your flight goes better. I can't imagine that it won't.
James walks over and pulls up. Dex, I need your help. Some little kid threw up in the back bathroom.
Oh, of course.
You go take care of that. I'll deal with the queen in the middle.
Okay. I'll take the easy job.
All right, you're up, Bankhouse.
All right.
I have to pee. I'll be back.
Oh, man. I'm thinking of a scene would involve Ryan, but he just got up to pee, so.
Well, think about the scene.
I'm thinking it's maybe an hour later, and, you know, I'm sitting, you know, I'm just, you know, looking around the plane, I notice that Ryan's not in his seat.
Second Pauly Shore movie starts.
The second Pauly Shore movie is just starting up. Biodome 2, the flight to the Biodome.
Yeah.
At this point, the air marshal might be sitting next to me.
It depends on how much big of an outburst you were making.
So, at this point, the air marshal's sitting next to him.
Okay. Which you'd probably like, because you'd feel more comfortable.
Right.
He hates it.
You've been chewing his ear off the entire time.
Literally.
You know, if you salted your ear,
it would taste much better. I'm thinking that, so, I'm looking around, I notice Ryan's missing. I go check all the lavender bathrooms, and they're all unoccupied. So I realize he must
except
be down.
Except the one I'm cleaning vomit out of.
Right, except the one you're cleaning vomit out of, but I can see you sticking out of it.
Yeah.
So I figure Ryan must be down in the cargo bay.
Did I clean it by putting it out of order sign on the door? That's how I used to clean the bathroom at Marshall's. First someone made a mess in the bathroom. No. You don't pay me enough for that. Out of order.
But wasn't that your bathroom, too?
Going in there.
Chris is just cleaning the bathroom as he's weeping.
No, this is the high point of his day. No crying. He's working.
Working at the car wash.
Oh, you have to have a phone sex conversation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe. Or my paycheck can just fall out of my pocket.
I like, okay, that's even better. Okay, so... Your phone's...
$387, did I say? My
phone's $378.
$378? This could be a different check, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because this is... You got arrested.
Right.
This is a couple... That was maybe a couple months ago?
2 weeks ago.
All right, so I had a good week. It's $5.18 this week. All right.
So I'm walking down the aisle.
Bi-weekly. So this right. 2 weeks.
Okay. So I'm walking down the aisle and I see there's a piece of paper, like right outside the door by you. And I pick it up and I unfold it.
Maybe he should find it. I'm pointing it at.
It is our thing.
I thought, oh, okay. Well, that's my seat, so we can't do that now.
Yeah, well, no.
Well, let me ask Ryan what he thought.
Plus, you finding it would discreetly give it back to me, and I'd be embarrassed that you know. Ed finding it announces it to the entire plane.
That's true. So, wait, Ryan, this is what I was thinking for my scene. You know, I'm looking around the plane, and I see you're not in your seat. I check all the lavatories. They're all unoccupied, except for the one Chris is cleaning. So I realize you must be down in the cargo hold.
The cabbage bay.
The cabbage bay. Or is it too soon for that?
No, I would say that's fair.
Acceptable.
Okay. So... I, you know, do an inventory of the plane of all the passengers, see you're not there, check the bathrooms, and realize you're downstairs. So I go to the... Fuck, what do I keep calling it?
The cabbage bay.
No, the room.
The galley.
The galley, yeah. Press the elevator button, notice the elevator comes up. Like, oh, that bitch. Get in. Go down.
Alright, it is dark... Right. There are,
spooky.
Yeah, very spooky. All you can hear is the drone of the engines, piles of bags everywhere.
I turn on the lights.
You see Charlene is sitting on top of a big old suitcase, got her legs crossed. She's got, your overnight bag. Open, you know, because all the flight attendants usually have those little rolly bags,
right?
And I'm going to say that
salivating over what you found inside.
Yeah, whatever your score from the last haul.
What was my last haul? If I stepped up my game after I got into a competition with the Roadrunner, I'm going to say. Oh, no, but I was backing off because the heat was on.
Yeah.
So maybe there's no score in there. Maybe it just has some coyote cards in there.
And a cup of diamonds.
It
could have some stolen cash, too.
How about just cash? If you're starting a new life, you're probably, like,
There's, like, two shirts on top, and once you pull those back, there's just rolls of hundreds.
And some coyote
cards. Stuffed into socks. And, you know, like a half dozen coyote
cards.
Maybe
something good, too, like a half pound of cocaine or something.
Nah. Not on a plane. Just the money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Charlene is sitting there. She's,
Has a slash fiction about the Wile E. Coyote. The
It's not finished yet. You can't read it.
She's sitting there with one of the rolls of hundreds, just, you know, like flipping through it.
Oh, you know what? Actually, like newspaper clippings of his, some of his, and yours, and pictures of you.
Sticky pictures.
No, just regular pictures.
He's careful with his aim.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
well.
You really shouldn't be going through other people's things. It's rather rude.
I'm guessing you really shouldn't have all of this cash.
Oh, I earned it.
Or these newspaper clippings. A little bit of an obsession.
What can I say? Your mugshot was just so striking. So much defeat and anger in your eyes at the same time.
Fuck.
We said at the beginning that's where it was going.
I know.
Yeah, but we're excited that it's going to happen.
So that's creepy.
I know. It's very creepy.
Especially after what I'm about to say.
Let's start off.
Seems like the coyote has finally caught up with the Roadrunner.
Fuck.
You guys done?
Fuck.
We gotta go faster.
No, we have to do the scene over. Yeah. And then it ends with us fucking.
I think just to spite them, it should have ended with us fucking.
Don't you know how that works?
No, I'm pretty sure it should.
Let's just shake hands cordially.
Fine. Pleasure doing business with you.
well, you found me.
You know who I am.
Yes. Well, unlike you, I never got arrested. Some of us know how to do our jobs.
Well. Should have ran over that damn dog.
You shouldn't quite understand yet why there's stuff about the coyote in there. You understand why.
There's a dog in a carry crate right next to you that goes...
I understand. Well, I see all of this stuff is me, but what are these other clippings?
What? Wait, is that what you're going to do?
No, because I would think that I got it immediately after seeing, like... Especially
the cards.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not the one who doesn't understand Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you.
I should have just run over that damn dog. Cost me 5 years of my life.
Would have been a lot more if you hadn't broken out.
Well, seems like you're making a move here yourself.
Feds are starting to get wise. Only took them about 15 years, but they're figuring it out, so... I decided it's time to call it quits. I'll just stick to being a plain old airline attendant.
Well, there's a problem with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know who I am, and I know who you are. And we both want to keep on going with our lives and start over. So... Here's what I propose, she said. She says, as she takes a couple of the rolls of hundreds and starts stuffing them into her pockets. You split this action with me.
And I'll split this action.
We're mistying this. We're mistying a movie that we're imagining.
MST3K.
Yeah.
Oh.
You split this action with me. We both ride the elevator back up to the galley. I go back to sitting in my seat. And we both get off the plane, and that'll be the end of it.
Well, we could get off.
We can get off.
Oh, yeah. James just smirks and walks over to you. Tell you what. He reaches into your pocket and starts pulling out the money. I'm going to keep this. And you can have whatever else you want from the rest of these bags. I checked that old Biddy's bag right over there. She's probably got some nice stuff in it. I reach into your pocket again and grab another hundred. Or roll of hundreds.
She grabs your hand and kind of like, yeah... Kind of gazes into your eyes. You're invading my personal space.
I'm an invasive guy. And they
fucked. They fucked. Ryan and Alex, they fucked.
Is that one of my songs?
Yes.
Yeah, it had to be.
All right.
I guess
that ended well for me.
There's a passionate kiss. Well, you get to keep your money.
Yeah. Passionate.
And you got some tail.
I'd say aggressive.
Yeah, no, definitely, because you've been rivals, and
yeah.
It's definitely a release for the both of you. And you both kind of got what you wanted out of that.
Yeah. You get some money.
Was that an awkward scene to play?
Yeah, a little bit.
But Ryan is a consummate professional.
Yep.
Did it help that we were chanting fuck?
Oh, definitely. Yes, it really did. So speaking of fucks, Chris.
Next time you bring a girl home, Alex, I'm gonna stand in the corner just to help you out. And
fuck.
And that really doesn't help.
He's making me really uncomfortable.
Who is he?
Can we send him away?
I tried so many times.
Been following this all night.
I know. He won't come.
He ruined the movie.
He's just in the movie. Fuck. Shut up, man.
Hey, I'm doing something here.
No, Ed, seriously, shut up. You don't need to do
this. Cut a hole in the popcorn.
God, Ed, I hate you so much. This is a Will thing.
All right. So,
Perhaps this should be the scene where I drop my paycheck near...
I'm going to say drop your pants. Near Ed.
Whatever. Pants, paycheck. Could be both.
I'm peeing.
All right, so you're walking by with the beverage cart. Mm-hmm. I'll say you've got like a little apron on.
Okay.
There's still you put the apron on because the front of your flight attendant uniform is now vomit stained.
All right.
Because the person who threw up in the bathroom continued to throw up.
Well, they came back for a second round
while you were cleaning.
Excuse me, Mr. Schmexer, I'd like another glass of wine, please.
Oh, of course. Were you drinking the red or the white?
I was drinking the red. Ladies always drink red.
Oh, ladies always drink red. Pours you a glass of wine. It's a little too full, but he knows you're going to complain if it's not, so... Here we go.
The air marshal grabs the wine and says, "No."
Yeah.
Well.
Dex, are you sure you should be giving this woman more wine?
Mindy said I should give her anything she wants. Maybe you should take it up with Mindy. You know what? What was your name, Marshal?
Carlin.
That was unfair. That was really unfair. I'm sorry. It's just... You know.
You're hoping she'll fall asleep, aren't you?
Yeah. Don't talk about me like I'm not in the room. I can hear everything you're saying. Now, when are you going to go and arrest those criminals?
Here you go, miss.
I'm on the case, ma'am. Rest assured. The air marshal goes back.
She starts to drink.
Dex leans over and pats the air marshal on the shoulder. Man, I'm sorry. She's just got me at wit's end. As he's leaning forward, out of his pocket, and onto Moira's lap, falls the paycheck.
Moira looks down at her lap and sees a folded piece of paper. She grabs it and she opens it.
Ooh, we need a name for this company.
Acme.
No,
Sexy Phone Time Incorporated.
Sexy Phone Time
Incorporated.
Sexy Man.
How about Dial a Stud?
Dial a Stud. 1-800 Stud Muffin.
Yes, 1-800 Stud Muffin. There's a picture of the silhouette of like an Olympian. You know.
So she sees the silhouette and she sees the paycheck and she shrieks at the top of her lungs, really high pitched.
We're recording it, Ed. Don't actually shriek.
Filth! Oh my god!
Ma'am, settle down.
Do you see this? You have a perfect working on...
Oh my god, give that to me.
This is a phone...
Ma'am, let me see. He looks at the check and his eyes go wide. He looks up at you. And you see, like, the faintest hint of a smile playing on his face. And he says, ma'am, this is Mr. Schmeckley's personal property.
Yes, and apparently they're paying him $5.87.
Ma'am.
People around the plane start giggling.
To give homosexuals hard-ons. Oh, can't believe I just said that. They're not all gay!
Dex, maybe...
Some of them just want someone to talk to!
Dex, maybe you should come with me up to the galley, huh?
I get like...
Here. One woman
a week, at least!
Dex, come on. Come up to the galley with me.
Don't look at me like that.
He knocks the glass of wine out of your hand. Bitch!
As you start walking up, there's like a little 16-year-old kid who goes.
The entire plane kind of gasps and you know.
Like the entire plane kind of claps.
Maybe a little column A, a little column B.
You get some applause.
No one's too upset about it.
Dex, you gonna be okay?
No.
Look, man, you gotta.
It was mortifying.
I can imagine.
I had to fucking scream out that it was a $5 check. Now they know I'm not even good.
Well, I understand. You got a lot on you. You gotta deal with your ex-wife and alimony and everything. You just stay up here and calm down and.
Okay.
I'll go see to her. Okay.
Get away from her.
Yeah. Why don't you go and deal with the back section, and I'll tell
James. I'll go back to first class, which is where I guess I was when I was on the other side of the curtain.
Yeah. All right. So, scene.
All right. I will establish. Maura takes this opportunity of you going to the galley to unbuckle herself, climb out of her seat, open the overhead compartment, and tear Sheila's / Charlene / the Roadrunner's carry-on out of the overhead compartment and starts rummaging through it and just throwing things everywhere.
I'm going to say that Charlene probably didn't have anything incriminating in the bag because she just broke out of prison, and you can't exactly sneak like firearms or weapons onto the plane.
And all the things she was stealing is in her bag in the
right.
bottom.
She hasn't committed the right. robbery yet.
She's still tearing through the bag.
Well, she has, but all the evidence is going to be in her other bag.
Right. So you are just like throwing her clothing, socks, you know, bras, underwear.
Oh, she doesn't wear bras.
she was exaggerating. She was exaggerating about the bra burning to horrify her backward sensibility.
There must be something in here to prove my
bra. She's a liar. She said she burned all these.
Yeah, exactly. She tosses.
Ma'am.
Oh, Victoria's Secret.
Ma'am.
She flips the bag over and she sees the little Roadrunner insignia.
The air marshal comes up. Ma'am, what are you doing?
Look at this. She's the Roadrunner. See? Look here.
Yes. I have a niece who has one with Tweety Bird. That doesn't prove anything. Look, you've thrown this poor woman's clothing all over the cabin.
She's not a poor woman. She is a tramp and a criminal and a crook. And that other gentleman was blackmailing her, and I think they both went that way.
Ma'am, please, you're going to have to sit down, or I'm going to have to physically restrain you.
Don't you touch me! She picks up the bag and she hurls it at the air marshal's face.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
There's your bad diet.
All right. He gets hit in the face with the bag. Not very hard, obviously.
Yeah, he doesn't even react. Yeah.
He just hits him towards the galley.
He just kind of looks down at it and goes, "Ma'am." he takes from his belt a set of
handcuffs.
"Ma'am, I'm afraid I'm going to have to place you under arrest."
So yeah, she starts to head towards the galley, and I'm guessing you just very gently, because she's frail and old, sort of put your hand on her shoulder.
Right.
And she's struggling to get away. "Let me go! They're in the galley. I have to stop them,
ma'am."
And she's slapping you with one hand and holding.
"In the galley, go to."
Sorry. That's it.
And he wraps your he very gently takes your wrists and puts them behind your back and cuffs you.
People on the plane start cheering and clapping.
"Woo! Oh, you're all fools, you know that."
"Shut up, you old bitch."
"I heard that.
Have another drink."
All right. And the air marshal escorts you back to your seat.
All right. She starts to cry a little bit at the top of her lungs.
People keep cheering and laughing.
Serve you right for making that other poor man cry before.
All right. I want this to end well for my character, so I'm going to resolve and take the last black die.
Okay.
All right. I got it. No, that would get me in trouble.
Damn it. I was going to say, if I get caught,
yeah,
you have to get me out of it, because I have material on you to,
right,
to bring you down.
Hmm.
I've got leverage.
Poorly for you.
Dorito.
How does it end poorly? How does a scene end poorly for Ryan?
Well, you first establish it.
I know. Well, I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Well, we're down in the cargo bay.
Oh, we're lying in a sweaty lump in the cargo bay.
Speedy Gonzales shows up.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Alright, So I like that. So we're putting our clothes back on.
You guys get dressed, get in the elevator, and leave, and out of the corner, someone stands up, walks over to your bag, takes all the stuff you just put into it out, puts it in a different bag.
Yeah, but that doesn't involve Ryan at all.
It's his stuff.
Well, I was thinking that Speedy Gonzales would come down the elevator. Well,
they have to settle the score. It's not just...
He stole your stuff.
Yeah, but we haven't established anything.
Maybe you got him one time, yeah.
Well, I do kind of like, so, you know, we're putting our clothes back on, and all of a sudden the elevator, you know, we hear the elevator go back up. Oh, shit. Someone's coming. Hide. I just sort of push you.
All right, I climb back over a pile of bags and...
You push him, he falls through one of the landing gears.
All right. You know, I straighten up, you know, put my jacket back on, straighten my tie real
certainly
quick.
That would have ended bad.
Actually, the elevator comes back down, there's just some random guy there.
That's how we would have got there.
Someone still has to die. Dad, you never opened your peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so...
You know, it should be the only other named character. It should be Captain McDonald.
he's Speedy Gonzales.
He's Speedy Gonzales.
all right, so come edit. It's the captain. Oh, Captain McDonald, what are you doing down here?
Oh, I just, wanted to check on the... Got the baggage compartment. I heard some rumblings about stuff going on down here, and I just wanted to make sure that the coyote and the roadrunner weren't actually down here.
Oh, what's the coyote and the roadrunner?
That crazy old lady up there screamed at the top of her lungs about the coyote and the roadrunner and how they're...
She wouldn't know about the coyote.
Oh, she's screaming about the Roadrunner and some guy blackmailing her. And,
wait, maybe he should just know about the coyote.
You should say.
She didn't know about the coyote.
Hmm. Well, that must have been me, then.
You're Speedy fucking Gonzales.
Andale, baby.
Why are we all masterpieces named after Looney Tunes characters?
You started it.
You did.
Bitch.
I didn't know it was going to be the end.
They weren't even looking for me, were you? They're looking for you.
Where is she?
Oh, I don't know. Wasn't down here.
He pulls out his gun.
Where is she? I don't know. She wasn't down here.
Where is she?
Oh, she's over there.
Why don't you come out, sweetheart?
Speedy?
Road?
Wait a minute. You two know each other?
We teamed up a while back.
And yes, we know each other.
Oh, fuck you, bitch.
Hey, what business is that of yours? What business is that of yours?
You're right.
So
I haven't run with Speedy Gonzalez in years.
Oh my!
Since the free Kool-Aid.
Did you two just? Oh, that is so precious.
Look, Speedy, what do you want?
Well, I've been really cornering this market. Lost luggage that doesn't really happen. It's because I make sure it gets lost. But with you two on the plane, well, you know, that sort of cuts into my territory, and I'm not okay with that.
Ooh, and you can feed us to the cops. Take the heat off of you.
Plus, you know, if I turn you guys over, there's never been a picture of me taken, but there's been pictures of you taken, so they'd sort of leave me alone.
Plus my partner, the Air Marshal Yosemite Sam.
Look, I don't care about luggage. That's not my game.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you won't mind heading upstairs and, sitting down and forgetting about this whole thing, right?
Sorry, babe.
Son of a bitch.
I go walk past and hit the button for the elevator.
Oh, and before you go up, I don't want to go to prison, so if the air marshal hears about this, I will take the whole plane down.
Okay.
All right, you have a good flight, Coyote.
You too. You turn back around to Roadrunner, and I reach over. There's a crew team on board. So there's a paddle. And I reach. Oh no, someone stowed their kayak.
Fire extinguisher?
Oh, okay. But
you can hit them with something,
fine.
Right?
Makes sense. I wanted to grab something unique from luggage.
Yeah, you know, let's go with that. A crew team with a paddle. There's a kayak.
So I grab a paddle and come up behind and just bam!
Alright.
Hope you know how to fly a plane.
They're automatic. And there's a co-pilot.
Yeah, we got a co-pilot.
No, seriously, the planes fly themselves these days.
No, they don't land themselves. Well,
yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You don't need pilots anymore.
Still.
But we have a co-pilot.
Holy shit. Charlene goes up to Captain McDonald and kicks him in the stomach.
Remember when I said earlier that Captain McDonald was our best? I was lying. Guy's a fucking douchebag.
I can tell. What the fuck are we gonna do, Coyote?
Wouldn't it be great if the elevator started moving again? I don't know who would be on it, but
I'm Droopy Dog.
I got you.
El Caban.
Hey. Fluffer and fucking hash.
Who invited that Hanna-Barbera crew?
Also, why do they call a guy named Jackson McDonald Speedy Gonzalez when he steals fucking luggage?
He does a lot of speed.
Who the fuck knows?
He does a lot of speed.
Alright, there you go. Shit, alright, so he's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
Well, Chris and I have a final destination of the morgue.
All right.
Or
all right. Maybe, yeah, in that case.
Oh, no. Wait, I'm going to think. What if we set Chris up?
As a patsy? Oh, God.
All right, so that's the end of Ryan's scene.
I like where this is going.
All right, so I'm going to start with my scene. So I'm going to grab the paddle, wipe it off, and just toss it next to the captain's body.
Charlene kneels down and holy shit, you fucking killed him.
No, wait, he's not dead.
Alright.
I've got an idea.
Alright.
But my plan is that I'm gonna tell Chris to go down and check something in the luggage bay. And the captain is gonna wake up and wind up shooting him.
Alright.
I don't know. I figured that would be awful for you.
Yeah, it is. No, it
perfect for me.
And then the captain will get arrested, and they'll find out he's Speedy Gonzales, and he'll be ranting and raving about us, but we'll be like, what?
All right.
Because they're talking about cartoon characters, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not kill him yet, because he's a good antagonist.
Speedy Gonzales. We didn't even know him until 5 minutes ago.
Well, that's what I mean. We don't want to dispatch our only antagonist. Yeah.
So well, we have two scenes left.
Well, I mean, we're also antagonizing each other a fair bit.
Wait a minute.
Two scenes, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but yours I get it. And...
All right, Ed, start it for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck. I've got it. Dexter.
The wimp?
Mm-hmm. Feds are already looking at him for the robberies.
That's lucky.
Okay. All right. Look, his bag is over there. Take everything from your bag and put it in his. All right, half the stuff from your bag.
Thank you.
I've got it. I go into my bag and take out all my coyote cards.
And you...
and put them in Chris's bag. Sorry, Chris.
Why? I want it to end badly.
All right, then I'm not sorry. Here, give me some of the stuff.
I'm upset that I've got two dice of each color, and I'm going to get another white one.
She passes you some jewelry, you know.
Right. I, you know, toss it in there, you know, make it look like it's hidden, you know, put some shirts on top of it, zip his bag back up, wipe, you know, my prints off of everything. All right, so now, before the captain wakes up, we send Dexter down here. Maybe they'll get into a fight. Or is the captain already dead? Out of character.
I don't think you should be.
No? Okay.
I agree with that. We shouldn't... Yeah.
Leave him alive.
So maybe you said he's dead, but he's not.
Right.
Hell, you're not a doctor.
Yeah. He's like Mr. Body.
All right, so we'll ride the elevator back up.
Yeah, so
we have him on loan from a horror movie.
I check, you know, and I know, I just check there's no one in there, so I wave you out and send you back to your seat. Hey, Dexter!
Huh?
Come here.
Yeah, what?
Come over here, man.
The,
Yeah, what?
What are you going to say,
Ryan? I was going to say, the air marshal is... in the midst of collecting all of my personal effects from the cabin after Moira threw them around. So I notice this and I kind of go...
Yeah. Listen.
What are you doing in the baggage compartment?
Oh,
with
no.
The passenger?
No, I just had to check something. The captain's down there. Actually, he said he needs your help.
The captain down there.
I don't know. You're going to have to go talk to him, man. He said something about missing luggage, and he just needs you to go check on something. Well, wait, no. You couldn't have seen me come up. I checked to make sure there was no one there.
No.
Listen, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
I just got a call from the co-pilot. He said he needs you to go down and check something in the baggage compartment.
Yeah, listen, before I go down... You should have seen the air marshal fucking tie up that old bitch.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Put her in handcuffs. I mean, she hasn't stopped screaming since. I want to fucking kill her still. But, God, was that moment awesome.
I bet. I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, he said there was a light on about some, like, loose luggage or something.
Oh.
You're good with all
that
stuff.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I know why he's telling me that. Okay, yeah, I fixed this once before.
Oh, okay, yeah. So if you want to just... take care of it.
Ah, yeah, hit the button.
All right.
I guess it's already up, so I'll just get it.
The captain is, like, staggering to his feet.
I think the door's open. And captain!
let's do that. That ended well for you.
Yes.
And then, Chris, yeah, the elevator comes down into the baggage claim. You see the captain with a huge bloody gash in his head.
I don't even think I notice before he shoots me. I think he just shoots the first person coming down in the elevator.
He fires at you.
It hits me in the shoulder, I'd say.
Shit!
It's you.
Ah. What the fuck?
Where are they?
No!
The Roadrunner and the Coyote.
We're at an impasse here. Should I know exactly what's going on, or should I still be clueless?
No, you should be completely clueless.
No idea.
Talking about cartoons? Why the fuck did you just shoot me?
He shoots you in your other shoulder.
Shut up and tell me where they are. Her name is James, and the girl who was with him. Your flight attendant buddy, where is he?
Just sent me down here. He just sent me down. He just sent me down here to fix the light. Why did he shoot me? Why did he shoot me?
He grabs you.
The air marshal has heard the gunshots because it's a fucking airplane.
Yeah. He grabs you around the neck and he holds the gun to your head and he pushes
the elevator.
Elevator up button.
And the elevator's already going up.
Okay, so he grabs you and he's holding you.
Shoot me!
Air Marshal Carlin comes down in the elevator, gun drawn.
Moira.
Oh, you're coming down? I thought he was going up.
No, well, because Edge shot you, and the Air Marshal heard the gunshot,
so he's
calling the elevator.
Right.
So he was going back down before Ed could call it to go up.
But I didn't think I got out of the elevator, since the elevator opened and then he shot me.
Well, you did.
Oh, I fell forward.
Or they probably would have called the elevator back up. So, like, you can...
He goes into the elevator.
And, all right, so, yeah, you come back up into
up
the...
You, in
you come back up
it.
Into the galley, and you see Air Marshal Carlin with his...
You
with
know
his
we're coming,
drone.
Because has it...
Do it, you fucking coward! Right,
so the
do it!
Shut up! he hits you with the... With the butt of the gun.
All right. That's not how you use it.
Carlin, take a step back, or I'm going to blow his head off.
Let him!
Captain, what
shoot through me! Go ahead, don't let him intimidate you.
Carlin,
all right.
Take a step back.
All right, Captain.
Put your gun back up, let him shoot me, I don't care.
Captain, I'm putting the gun down.
No, don't!
I'm putting the gun down.
You panic me!
And I start.
That's just all
start biting at you.
I've got an idea. He hits you with the butt of the gun again, knocking some teeth out. I have 3 white dice, so this is going to end well for me. So I have a feeling. So the captain is holding you.
Wait, I have an idea.
I was going to like tackle the captain and rescue them.
I have a better
hero.
Idea.
That is a good idea.
I have a better idea. So. The captain is walking you forward. He wants to get to the cockpit. And he's slowly backing the marshal up. And from behind, Moira in her handcuffs
comes up and
runs down the aisle, leaps up on the captain's shoulders with her handcuffs around his neck.
But her hands are behind her.
Well, maybe
she's very limber for an old lady. Now, you know what? Maybe she did. Maybe they are handcuffed to the front because she's old and
jumps
around.
Right. Jumps, puts the handcuffs around his neck, and pulls him back.
Well, retcon, because I said I put her arm behind her before.
And pulls him back, and he drops the gun, and she's she has her hands the chain around the captain.
Oh, wait. I've got a better. So she grabs him and yanks him back. The gun goes off and just winds up killing a random passenger.
Okay.
Because we have to get to the morgue.
Oh, wait a minute. If you're dropping the gun on the ground, maybe I get my hands on it.
No, I think you're unconscious and bleeding on the floor. He shot you in both shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want to get your hands on the gun.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because so Chris drops.
So you Moira like grabs the captain and you pulls him back, and then Dexter like manages to grab the gun out of his hand,
and she bites the captain's ear.
The captain is shooting now,
just like that.
Yeah. At this point, Air Marshal Carlin is just so fucking perplexed. He has no idea what to do.
I think he's probably still keeping the gun on the captain.
Yeah.
Dexter's on the ground.
kick the gun out of my hand as I put it into my mouth. I pick up the gun. You go, oh, Dexter, thank God. Put the gun, and I go,
and then you kick it.
No. I kick it out of your mouth. Okay. Dexter, no. Whoever.
And she's just screaming. Moira spits the captain's ear out.
I grab Moira and pull her off the captain.
The air marshal just goes, all right, everybody fucking freeze. Everybody is fucking under arrest. We are going to sort this out on the ground. But as for right now, you are all going back into the passenger cabin and taking your goddamn seats.
It's about time.
Blood caking your face. I carry Moira back to her seat and drop her in it.
I think the air marshal should hold the gun to you too. Oh no, you're
under arrest too, James.
Whoa, okay, Bob.
We're going to sort this out. Actually, he has no reason to suspect.
No, I think
the air marshal should just arrest everybody on the plane.
I think that was like the breaking point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everyone would get detained.
You've been next to that lady for hours. It doesn't matter if they messed up a fucking game of checkers.
A seven-year-old girl looks up. Am I under arrest too?
Yes!
I go walk to the galley and sit down in my seat.
Mommy, why did the man arrest me? the air marshal walks up to the PA system, gets on, and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a bit of a situation on board. As soon as we land in London, I will be in touch with the local authorities. Unfortunately, the entire flight staff has been involved in a bit of an incident, and they are all under arrest. Unfortunately, you will all have to be detained when we arrive at Heathrow. So settle in.
Groans and curses.
And screams in pain. And, right. And probably screams from whoever the person that got killed was sitting with.
No one got killed.
I thought the gun went off and killed someone.
So no, you grabbed it and just...
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I have an idea. Do we want to end it like this? An irate passenger stands up, picks the gun up that was kicked out of your hand, shoots the air marshal, goes, I'm not going back to prison! And then kicks down the cockpit door. Take this plane to Cuba!
Yes. Oh, man.
No,
why?
That's too ridiculous.
I don't think it could get any more
ridiculous. I was going to say, like, how much more ridiculous?
That's the perfect ending for this.
That's
just some other random guy who's another...
What is that movie with Jack Lemmon? The Out of Towners. Yes. That's exactly how that movie ends. This plane is going to Havana, Cuba.
So maybe we should go to like somewhere in Europe. I don't know that the plane would have enough gas.
Madrid.
Yeah, this plane is going to Madrid. All right.
Okay.
We'll see how well we do.
Somewhere in Russia.
Nice.
Oh boy.
I rolled
take these planes to Siberia.
Trip vibes.
I rolled 3 black.
Five.
5 what?
5 black.
1 white.
Oh wow. I definitely won this one. I got 15 white.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Alright, so wait, what'd you have, Ryan?
I had 3 black.
Alright. 3 black. Harsh. Shit in a bag, harsh. A lifetime of medication, harsh. A big black cloud of hurt is going to rain all over you. The things you need to happen are not going to. Simple as that.
All right, so yeah, I'm guessing that Charlene gets sent right back to prison.
Yeah.
Because...
And yeah.
And you had 1 white, Chris?
1 white.
Ed, what'd you have?
5 black.
Rough. You are getting whipped like a rented mule, for starters, and you will remember this episode... What?
Wasn't that the same number Ryan had?
No, Ryan had 3.
Oh.
You were getting whipped like a rented mule, for starters, and you will remember this episode for all your diminished days. The lesson you learn will be profound, lingering, and painful.
Okay.
Painful.
Chris, you had 1 white?
That's correct.
Dreadful. You are certainly dead, probably from a self-inflicted wound.
People, see, I wanted to blow my brains out.
People you care about are also probably dead, maybe for your own stupid, ugly failure. To say that you fucked up is an insult to fucked upness. You have redefined the term.
Bless you.
Thank you. For me, fan-fucking-tastic. It's fat times ahead, safe and secure. That thing that would make your life better? Oh, you got it, absolutely. And then some. And then some more. Enjoy it.
I think it should turn out that all along, it's when we reach Siberia, it's discovered that, that Moira Bentley is actually a Russian expatriate who is wanted by Russian authorities because she's a black widow.
Okay. I was going to say we could go...
Well, it's not like you're going to jail.
We could go the route of a mole if you wanted to go that way instead of a black widow. Like she was a Cold War covert agent and just stayed around in America.
Okay.
Or I'm trying to think.
Well, I mean, it's not like
on the Americans and she just defected.
It's more like you're learning like a really big horrible lesson from this.
Okay. Well, I suppose waking up drunk in Siberia.
Or hungover in Siberia.
Yeah.
So maybe you get detained in Siberia for a while.
Yeah.
And you wind up like losing two toes to frostbite. And you decide to never fly again.
Yes.
Which is going to make it hard for you to get home.
Yes. And you're somewhat more reserved now and keep your opinions to yourself.
Okay.
Sometimes. Chris, what about you?
I think I died.
From your wounds?
From my wounds.
You bleed out on the flight to Siberia.
There was a doctor on the plane, but I spit and bit at him until he refused to treat me, and I just bled to death. He's like, "You're gonna bleed to death. Let me.
Or should it be the opposite? Because it's a bad ending for you. So you survive.
And get framed.
Yeah. That would be pretty bad. That's like, you can't even kill yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh, when I go to Siberian now?
Well, no, they would extradite you.
They would extradite you back to the U.S. Maybe you'd probably have to spend a little bit of time in Siberian. Yeah. You spend about a month at a gulag before they manage to extradite you back to the U.S.
Holy shit, that's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
They interview your ex-wife.
I always knew he was worthless and good for nothing. This doesn't surprise me at all that he was robbing people's packages on the plane.
He's been robbing me for years. Never sends the right amount of child support. Look at all these kids. I didn't even want one. Rape babies.
Wow. Oh God! That's wow.
Bill Meyer wasn't here.
All right.
Rape babies.
So I'm guessing, because I am like, fan-fucking-tastic.
Well, you get away with it.
I get away with it. Yeah, definitely.
And your new friend from the plane, you know, the guy that took us all to Syria.
Siberia?
Wherever. He's your new friend. He gives you a job or something? I don't know.
No, he's a criminal. He's going to get arrested as soon as he lands.
I was thinking you get away and you start your new life and you...
I was thinking that I would somehow stop him and become a hero.
Oh.
All right, yeah.
That's even better.
So maybe... if we want to make it even more ridiculous...
Why do we go to Siberia still, then?
Well, so, because it's fan-fucking-tastic. So maybe some passengers rush the cabin and there's a fight and he winds up killing the co-pilots.
And you land.
And I land the plane.
So you're a hero.
I'm a hero, and I get lavished with attention and money and gifts, plus my score.
All right.
Because why not? It was fan fucking tastic for me.
This was a wacky ride.
Yes, it was.
I hope we haven't offended anybody too greatly.
I think we've offended everybody.
Pretty much. Wait. Minorities, women.
the elderly.
We've offended at least like
marshals.
At least 85%.
Fuck Latlanders.
What?
Fuck Latlanders.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
We've offended at least 85% of everyone there is to offend, I think.
Okay. And astronauts.
Whoa, we didn't.
Oh, the astronauts, man.
God.
Those are the two people that were racist against
the UCB. We didn't offend Latlanders
and astronauts.
You didn't offend what?
Religious sensibilities.
I hate
Christ. What about the
Arab?
What about the Arab thing you said about bumping into you and taking you as a wife?
No, because Arab is a culture.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing, not a. Yeah.
We didn't say anything. Arab. We didn't say anything about.
Well, there you
the
go,
Prophet
Chris.
Muhammad.
You just did it by
praise
by,
be praise be unto him.
You just defended Muslims by.
All right, we're gonna cut the cord there. Hope you all enjoyed this horribly offensive fiasco, and we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.